It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Force.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Welcome back, NHRA fans, to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A winner's edition following the four-wide nationals at the Bellagio of Drag Racing, Z-Max Dragway. It was on live television. It was absolutely out of control and chaotic. And we're going to hear from the winners. We have got Antron Brown on this show. Going to talk about winning back-to-back in Top Fuel. Antron compares it to The Hunger Games. You're going to want to hear that. It is outrageous. Antron Brown goes in depth on his four-wide victory. Also on the show, Andrew Hines, winning in Pro Stock Motorcycle. His second time, he's won it at four-wide. I'm noticing a trend. The guys who have figured it out, and are able to get back to the winner's circle. Is there something to that? Also on the show, he set the world on fire, literally the shot heard round the world, Yanni Lindbergh, after his Lucas Oil Top Alcohol Funny Car victory, rewriting the record books. We're going to hear from Yanni Lindbergh on this show from the winner's circle, kind of a hybrid. Some of the winner views from the track, some of the winner views on the phone, and we're going to go back and forth. It's going to be great. Also on the show, her first win in Top Alcohol Dragster. Her first win, Mia Tedesco. Miss Mia, we're going to talk about it and listen to this young lady as she is ascending in the world of NHRA drag racing. Also on the show, David Rampy. Rambo wins again. That's back-to-back nationals, Gator Nationals, and of course, Z-Max. David Rampy going to be on this show. We're going to catch up with Brian Lones, and he and I are going to kill some time in the staging lanes. But maybe even some more that I don't even know what it is just yet. Oh, yes, that's right. The Search for a Champion contest. You guys have been voting for Carly Joe Ellingson. WFO Radio throws the support behind Carly Joe. Guess what? She won it. That's right. 50 grand. That's two out of the three Search for a Champion winners have been WFO Radio supported candidates. That's just outrageous. So we have got a great show for you. But to start them all off, the voice of the NHRA, and you can't spell NHRA without AR. Joining us now, Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Great to be back.
Everybody wants to know, though, were you able to locate the hearse you were going to purchase? That was the big news of the weekend.
They sold it before I could get it.
What?
It's gone. It's gone. So if anybody has a 63 Cadillac hearse sitting around that you want to get rid of, I am in search of another project since my 67 Mustang is done, and I need something to work on.
This guy, all during the weekend, obviously there's a lot of chaos going on four-wide, but in addition to that, he had a little side car search project going and had like three or four cool cars he was polling the crowd about. Like, what do you think of this one? What do you think of this one? The one that got consensus, he was making a move on it, and someone got it out from under you.
Yeah, I would have bought it. It was in Albuquerque, so it was a couple hours away. When I got back in town, I called the guy yesterday and said, hey, look, I'm interested. I want to drive up and take a look at it. And he said, oh, man, sold it Saturday. So, on to the next thing, I guess.
On to the next thing. Wow, but bit of a bummer because I think you would have been cool out there cruising around in that thing. But
yeah, that was the one thing that was going to get me over my basketball depression. So, you know, now I'm back in a funk again.
Yeah, you were not. You handled it well, I got to admit. I know a lot of hardcore sports fans, as are you, for their teams. And I've seen people handle defeat a lot worse than you did.
Well, that was just, you know, my public side. When I got back to the hotel, I curled up in the closet and cried all night.
In the fetal position.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, hey, you know, you guys got a bunch of threes drained down on your head. There's no way to stop that. No Ken defense.
Yeah, what's the NCAA version of traction control? Because there's no question in my mind that Wisconsin had some kind of traction control going on. You cannot make 10 out of 12 three-point shots in the second half without doing something funky. And so that's, you know, that I want, I don't know, I guess in basketball they couldn't deflate the ball because that would have helped us too, right? So
I believe
you're. I don't know. Maybe they had a bigger. Did they have a bigger rim on one end? There had to be something.
You're calling shenanigans. Some sort of tractor beam with gravity pulling it through the hoop or something.
Yeah, you know what? What it really was, and it was a case of a very good basketball team that was locked in the zone. I mean, I believe they could have beat the Lakers that night. They were shooting lights out. They were playing very well. You know, my guys played a good game. Their guys played a great game. So congratulations to Wisconsin. I hope they go ahead and win the whole thing. Of course, they've got Kentucky next, and I was looking forward to the Wildcats versus Wildcats since I have a bunch of Kentucky buddies, and we would have had a bunch of side action on that game. But now Wisconsin played a whale of a game, and they deserve to be in the Final Four, and hopefully they'll win the whole thing.
Madness in March, and, of course, Alan from Arizona. Me from Miami. Yay, we're in the NIT tonight. Woo! No?
Hey, you know what? You got a contest? Get out there and win it, no matter what. That's you know, that's kind of my feeling. I don't care if you're racing in top fuel or if you're racing in bracket four. If you're going to the starting line, you should have your game face on and be ready to go and ready to win.
Speaking of that, it just happened today. You know, sometimes we record parts of our show earlier in the week. Today, finding out that Carly Jo Ellingson, who reached out to WFO Radio and said, "Hey, I'm in this contest, search for a champion," just like the Mihalik brothers, Corey and Kyle, did a couple of years ago. She wins the thing. She's got the $50,000 sponsorship. We're going to hear from her on the show in a little while, but what are the odds? 2 out of the 3 years that we do it, all 3 years, we put someone into the final round, and 2 out of the 3 years, the winner is a WFO-supported candidate. That's pretty cool. And a drag racer.
Yeah, that's definitely pretty cool. The power of the media.
Is that what we are? The media? I don't know.
Are you not?
I don't know if I like that. Yeah, I'd like to consider us like a grassroots social group. Who happens
well,
to
know,
communicate
and
this
I think
way.
That that's part of it is the vast majority of people, I believe, that listen to the show, at least the ones that I meet, you know, being out and around at the racetrack, if somebody screams WFO and we stop and chat for a minute, are kind of, you know, the working class, not billionaires, not, and I think that they would get behind somebody that you support because, I mean, don't misunderstand this, but you're not going to go, hey, vote for Jack Beckman on this deal, and somebody that is kind of, you know, one of them. Somebody that's trying to make a dream come true, somebody that's trying to get the step, you know, is gonna attract a lot of attention from your listeners. That's my personal feeling.
No, I agree completely. It is, and the people that we support are exactly that, people who need it. We don't help people who can help themselves. We help people who need help. And it has worked out 2 out of 3 times, which is a crazy number. Carly Jo going to be on the show. Someone who does not need our help, but comes on the show anyway, Antron Brown, back-to-back wins in Top Fuel. Kind of a crazy four-wide nationals just in general because so many elements going into it. New track surface. Oh, by the way, four-wide is different, and we only do it once a year. And we lose 2 sessions of qualifying where everybody could kind of reacclimate themselves to, how do I do this again? What exactly did I learn last year? And Antron able to go right back and win back-to-back. He clearly has got something additional figured out, at least on the starting line.
Well, I think one of the big things, and it was interesting that Doug Herbert, who came and joined me in the announce booth for a while, talked about when he ran the four wide and was trying to work his way through the confusion, and he said the best advice he got was from Shirley Muldowney. She said, why are you paying attention to what's going on outside of your lane? You know, drag racing is me get my car to the finish line. You don't play defense. You don't play... And it doesn't matter if there's one person next to you, if there's 17 people next to you, why are you even looking that direction? Your goal is directly in front of you, and that's what you need to do. And he said once he started approaching it like that and just blocked out of his mind that, wow, this is a wild deal, it all comes back down to my car, my lane. Get it down there the best you can do it. And, you know, Antron obviously, you know, Antron, I think a lot of people don't understand, or maybe a lot of people don't, what kind of an athlete this guy is. I mean, he was... a track and field guy, had Olympic aspirations at one point. He is very good at focusing on the goal and tuning out all the rest of the distractions, and I think that serves you well in the four wide.
For all you first-time listeners, we'll hear from Antron just minutes from now. He'll be joining us on the show. And I think it's kind of interesting, Alan. I know we've been doing this for a while, but each time we go, something new comes up, or at least I hear about it. And this time I heard a lot of people verbalizing exactly what was confusing them on the starting line, maybe better than in the past. And here's basically what I got out of it. Lanes 1 and 4, really there is no difference. You're looking at your pre-stage bulb, your stage bulb, and straight down your lights. in lanes 1 and 4. In 1, you're all the way on the left, and in 4, you're all the way on the right. But in lanes 2 and 3, you're looking at a pre-stage and stage bulb that is on the left side of the Christmas tree you're looking at, but when your lights come on, your lights will be on the right side. And opposite in lane 3, you are looking at the stage bulbs that are on the right side of the tree, the 3rd and 4th, and then yellow lights that are on the left side of the tree. So that the lanes 2 and 3 are actually opposite of what you would normally do, or a little different than what you would normally do. Now, Antron had success out of those lanes, but that breakdown of exactly what is different about what the driver sees and is doing in lanes 2 and 3 made a whole lot of sense this time out.
Well, yeah, yes, you're looking across the tree, you know, when you stage and pre-stage. But, you know, you need to, in your mind, understand, okay, I'm in lane 2. And one thing they did at the tree this year that they hadn't done in years past was they labeled all four of the lights instead of just, okay, that one's yours. They were actually labeled 1, 2, 3, and 4. So unless you somehow lose track during the burnout, during the backup, of what lane you're in, if you know you're in lane 2, all you got to do is look at the tree and go, okay, number 2, that's me, and then pull in and stage. You know, it did bite a couple of guys that got Matt Hagen in the opening round when he didn't stage because he was looking, as you said, at the wrong bulb, thinking that, okay, that's me over there, and never did stage. He ended up getting timed out, and that kind of bit Tim Wilkerson as well, as he was waiting for the fourth car to stage and staring at the tree, waiting for that LED to come on, and completely missed when the countout took place and the ambers flashed, and he just sat on the starting line. So, you know, that was two of the, you know, pretty serious players in the field that all of a sudden were spectators in round number 1 on kind of a fluke deal, I guess.
Very fluke deal. Antron goes on to win. Steve Torrence comes in second. We'll call it the runner-up. A couple other moments of note out there. The Pat Dakin 371. Just give me your thoughts. I'm real happy for those guys because part-time team. Pat's been out there for a long, long time. Maybe they didn't win the race, but they did something special on that run.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, when he hit the gas and the scoreboard lit up, you know, you're talking about an independent campaigner that does it out of his own pocket, spends his own money. The commercial metal fabrication logo on the side, that's Pat's company. It's not, you know, somebody that's kicking him a few bucks here and there. And, you know, brought out a brand new race car, made a big investment, came out and got it down the track, and that's what came up on the scoreboard. So congratulations to those guys that, you know, it was a pretty special number that came up on the scoreboard.
Very, very cool. Of course, J.R. Todd getting the number 1 qualifier, goes out the first round roasting the tires. Clay Milliken getting to the final round. A lot of people thought it was going to be his day. But in the end, it was Antron Brown. And then in funny car, what a day. Jack Beckman really, I think, for the first time showing the potential of that team. 398, low ET of the meet in the final round, a 4-0-0-0 in the semi, winning the race, breaking a long winless streak for Jack Beckman. And now this new team, they've done it. They learned how to win together, and I'm looking for more. What do you think?
There weren't a whole lot of people that were unhappy about Jack's win. You know, even the guys that were in the other lanes, because, A, he's such a good guy, and, B, it had been such a long time, and, C, what's on the side of his car, the Infinite Hero Foundation that just does tremendous work for our returning soldiers and sailors and military folks. It was just, you know, it was a great deal all the way around, and the low ET of the meet in the final round was kind of icing on the cake. But, you know, for Jack, and, you know, not to steal the thunder of what's coming up, but it was kind of like Larry Morgan. He's just such a good guy that everybody likes, and it had been so long, there wasn't anybody disappointed to see him win it, even though, obviously, everybody else would have wanted to win it. But nobody was really disappointed about Jack finally breaking through and winning again.
Absolutely, and we are working on chasing down Jack and Larry, but I think because we have a week in between our next race in Vegas, we might end up getting them next week, which that's a reason to listen to WFO
cool.
Radio. But the bottom line is we will definitely hear from Jack and Larry at some point on the show. And Jack wins the race. Del Worsham comes in second. The Force cars, John Force winning his first round of the year. I saw something new out of John Force. I know they didn't go as far as they would have wanted, and they have yet to really have that big performance here in 2015. But the John Force that I'm watching, Alan, is a different guy than a year ago. He reminded me of what I have seen from Tim Wilkerson jumping out of the car, yelling at his guys, telling them what to do, motivating them in a positive way, like a drill sergeant, like a head coach. Guys, get it going. Like this renewed force, so to speak, because he has such a young team. I know they didn't get the result they wanted, but I saw something special out of John Forrest that may end up paying dividends down the road.
Well, you know, John, it's been a bit of a struggle for John this year. Obviously, finished strong last year, even though he didn't close out the championship. That ended up going to Hagen. But he went to the final round at Pomona at the Auto Club Finals last season, and I think they came into this year with a whole lot higher hopes than we're going to go to the first three races and never get out of the first round. So, you know, whether it's, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, the crack in the dam, the whatever you want to call it, but finally seeing a win light come on and getting to advance into the next round for the first time this year, I think has got him pumped up a little bit, you know, and the whole, hey, guys, that's what we're working towards. That's what we're trying to do. We need to do more of that. You know, good for him. He obviously has been at this game a long time, understands it. He is a very good people person, and that's why, you know, he's had so much success with sponsors and some of the other stuff over the years. So he knows how to get people pumped up and go in the right direction, and that's what he's trying to do with his young guys.
It was really cool to see, and fans of John Forrest, he was I don't want to say reinvigorated, but there was no time for him to be thinking about anything else other than getting his guys to do what they have to do. It was really interesting to see. Now that he's got Chevrolet and sponsorship, this is a different John Forrest than I saw just a year ago. Kind of interesting. Now moving over to Pro Stock, the factory hot rods, where Larry Morgan. Alan, we've been talking about this for a while. When the announcement was made, Fire Raid and a Camaro and Gray Motorsports, we thought, wow, Larry could win a race. I didn't know it was going to happen this rapidly, but Larry Morgan goes out there and gets it done on a day where we saw just all kinds of great record-breaking performances.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jason Lyon setting the national record in the first round, I believe that made Alan Johnson the happiest guy in Charlotte at that particular moment, because otherwise he would have been a footnote that he didn't want. But the first round of Pro Stock, three guys ran career best numbers, one guy ran low ET of the world, the quickest run in history of Pro Stock, and got beat on two hole shots. That's why Alan Johnson was happy that somebody else got the record. And, you know, that just kind of set the tone. Pro Stock was a wide-open, wild affair from the start. When you figure the reigning champion, Erica Ender Stevens, qualified 16th, you know that all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty wide-open affair, and that's just the way it went down. It was a wide-open affair.
Alan was, it wasn't funny. It was, you could tell he was down, but he knew. He goes, the record's about to happen right here. That run will be washed away when Jason runs. And he knew it, and sure enough, 6:45.5 at 2:14.48, Jason Lyon just blows it away and pushes it down there into the 6:45, a very impressive number. I know he didn't get down the track in the second quad, but just the air conditions were incredible.
Well, there were times during the course of the weekend when I'm checking out my weather pager, and the biggest number I think I saw was 640 feet below sea level. And for anybody that knows anything about performance automobiles, and especially those that burn gasoline or naturally aspirated, weather conditions really dictate how much power you can make. And in essence, the Pro Stock cars had about 40 or 60 or 80 more horsepower than they had when we were in Gainesville, just because of the air conditions were that much better. The career best list, if you have a list of career best runs for Pro Stock drivers before you got to Charlotte, you could just wad that up and throw it away. You know, 215 miles an hour happened more than once, which had not happened except once in the history of the sport. It was just a crazy performance event for the Pro Stockers. A lot of them were having troubles that stemmed from, how do we manage all this extra power? We don't have the gear ratios that we need. We don't have exactly what we need to be able to do this, because we've never had this power before. We haven't been in these conditions before. So it made it a little bit of a guessing game for some of the guys, and obviously the guys that guessed right, the guys that left with the trophy. And when I say guessed right, I'm not talking about Larry's 006 light in the final round. He was jacked up and ready to go, and he deserved to win it.
He was. He told me at some point during the day, I think it was after first round when he ran a 50, he said, Mike, we need to get more aggressive. He goes, I need to talk to the guys and tell them to be more aggressive, because we have got what it takes to be running these mid-40 numbers. We have got the car to do it, and we got to get after it. And sure enough, they did, with a 47.7 and then a 46.4 in the final round, which is just a tremendous number. And Larry Morgan is going to be a force to be reckoned with. he's got this all this renewed energy, and I got to think a lot of it is pent up after the frustration of the past couple of years. Maybe you can elaborate as best as you can on a racer who has what it takes as a man but doesn't have what it takes as the equipment, and now he does.
And that was a big part of it. You know, Larry spent a lot of time doing research and development on the new generation Dodge Hemi, and then when Ford wanted to come get involved, he basically started from scratch again doing research and development on the new shotgun Ford motor. And then when Ford's interests kind of waned in the pro stock category, all of a sudden he didn't have the resources, the engineering support, the other stuff that some of the factory teams had. He stuck with it for a couple of years and tried to do the best that he could, and he was very grateful for the help that Forrest Lucas has given him over the last couple of years. But he wasn't on the same budgetary status as a Summit Racing team, as a Gray Motorsports team, as, you know, some of the power players out there, and made no bones about it. You know, when some of these guys are spending $30,000 on a set of shocks, and Larry just doesn't have that in the budget. And if those shocks are worth a hundredth and a half, well, you know, look at your basic pro stock qualifying sheet. What's a hundredth and a half worth? Third instead of 12th? And, you know, that's the way pro stock has gotten. But with the help of FireAid coming on board, with the power coming out of Gray Motorsports, and we've seen what they've been able to do the last season or so, all of a sudden now Larry has, you know, equal equipment to the others, and he definitely knows what to do with it when he's got the equipment. He's a very bright guy, been around this class a long time, been around these cars a long time. You know, when it comes to how do we set up the chassis, what do we do with the clutch, what all of that stuff he's got, the missing ingredients are what he now has, and he's going to be a force. I will be very surprised if he's not a top five player when we get to the countdown to the championship.
Very interesting to see. I just want to make a note. You know, I know we're always trying to create rivalries and acrimony, you know, for the entertainment of us all. Vincent Nobile has made like four wide final rounds, and on the broadcast they're showing highlights from the past couple of years. And last year, Jimmy Allen, who's there pouring mellow yellow over his head? Vincent Nobile celebrating with him because an unlikely victory. This year it's Larry Morgan. Sure enough, who's there? Seems like really genuinely enjoying and happy for the moment that it is for the sport of drag racing and someone that he deals with on a regular basis, Larry Morgan, instead of being angry about being defeated, choosing to use the moment for positivity. I know that's not exactly building the rivalries that we want, but I couldn't help but notice it.
Well, there's a lot of camaraderie in pro stock, probably more than any other category, for the simple fact that the guys that compete at that level understand the commitment that it takes to compete at that level more so than I think anybody from the outside ever could. And to see a guy who has made the commitment, who has put in the hours, who has done to finally be rewarded after such a long struggle, and, you know, Larry's a good guy. So, you know, I think everybody was genuinely happy for him. Kind of, you know, like I said, kind of like the Jack Beckman thing. You know, if I can't win it, I'm good with Larry winning it, just because it's been so long, and he's a guy that certainly has more than paid his dues, and now that he's on pretty much equal footing with the rest of the guys, I don't believe that'll be his last win this year. I really don't.
I agree with you. And Pro Stock Motorcycle...
Can we get one more Pro Stock note?
Of course.
Okay. Now that Greg Anderson has broken his long dry string, and Larry Morgan has broken his long dry string, the next guy with the longest dry string would be V Gaines. So V is going to be my pick for Vegas. And also, V Gaines was the fan vote favorite into the K&N Horsepower Challenge, so he'll have a couple of shots at some big bucks and some trophies.
Excellent. And that going on at the Strip in Las Vegas at our next event, and we're going to focus heavily on that next week as we get ready. That's a big payoff. It's kind of interesting. It's a specialty race, and people talk about it, but to hear the drivers talk about it, it was almost their primary focus. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be the fan vote? Who's going to get in? Who are they going to have to race? That was the buzz on the top end as they were all talking, of course, about what they ran and four wide, how it's crazy. But the K&N Horsepower Challenge was something everyone was buzzing about.
Well, the Horsepower Challenge has come up big because it's once a year. You know, somebody's going to win another national event next week. Somebody's going to win one a week after that. Somebody's going to win one a week after that. But if you win the Horsepower Challenge, that's a crown you get to wear for an entire series, an entire season. And, you know, of course, Erica and the Elite Motorsports team went in there last year and just cleaned house. They won that race, and then they came back and won again on Saturday. But I say V Gaines has the next longest non-winning streak and he got the fan vote, so it seems like the momentum pendulum might be just swinging over towards Camp Kendall, and we'll see what happens in Vegas. But that K&N horsepower challenge is a huge thing. And, of course, some lucky fan is going to drive home in a brand-new Toyota when it's all over with.
Absolutely the best thing you could walk away from the racetrack with, I think. You come in with nothing, you leave with a truck. That would be pretty cool. All right, Pro Stock Motorcycle, where Andrew Hines wins again. Eddie Krawick was second. Scotty Polacek and Hector Arana Jr. In the final round. Of course, Andrew winning the race, that is most important. But again, huge numbers, in particular, mile per hour of Hector Arana Jr. in the final. 199.88, Alan. That is just a tick off that magic 200 number.
Well, national record, which is nice. But I think Hector was a little disappointed that he didn't get the 200-mile-an-hour run, because we don't see conditions like that very often. You know, who knows when we might have another opportunity to get to that 200 number, and that would be immortality, even if you didn't win the race. You know, Andrew Hines wins the race, he gets the trophy, okay. 10 years from now, when somebody says, who won the four wide back in 2015? I don't know. But 10 years from now, when somebody says, who was the first guy to ever go 200 on a Pro Stock motorcycle? His name would have been the one mentioned. You know, I don't know that anybody can. I don't know how many people remember who won the 92 Gator Nationals in Top Fuel. But do you remember who the first person was to ever run 300 miles an hour in a Top Fuel car?
Yes, I do.
And there you have it. And that would have been an immortal feat if Hector had been able to pull it off. You know, he still will have a shot at it next time we get into those conditions. But that's one of those things that you just hate to miss when you get the opportunity. That bike is running very well. That team is running very well. And they also are going to be a force to be reckoned with. But, you know, the Harleys don't look like they've lost a step since last season.
We're going to hear from Andrew Hines on the show minutes from now. Also,
did you get him in the winner's circle or did you get him on the beach?
Got him in the winner's circle because okay. He told me he was going to the beach. He's like, I'm going to Hawaii. I was like, well, let's do it now. And I was able to catch up with him, and I was able to catch up with another sensation of the weekend, Yanni Lindberg in the winner's circle, Mia Tedesco, David Rampe, all from the winner's circle. Antron, we got on the phone. Obviously, you are on the phone, but... Yeah, it was very cool being there, all the breakdown. Let's talk about Lindbergh's run. Alan, how big, how significant, how big a deal? I know Alcohol Funny Car, not every one of our listeners keep track, but the people that keep track in a big, big way. This was on the Swedish news. This was a huge deal.
There's no question it was a huge deal. When you think about how long that record had stood, how long people had been taking swings at it, trying to make it work, and the fact that, you know, when Yanni Lindberg came over here, Steve Harker's mentioned it a couple of times, of course, the Leander's car has run big speeds and run very well, and all of them made no bones about the fact that I want to be the guy that is the first one to run 270 miles an hour. I want to be the guy that is the first one to go in the 530s, and you know, when Yanni came over here, and some people thought him, you know, maybe a little cocky, maybe a little, you know, who is this guy that thinks he's just going to come over here and take over? But he backed it up, and I don't think he was bragging as much as he was just laying out his goals for people. You know, this is what I intend to do. This is what I am trying to do. You know, it was 2000 when the first Alcohol Funny Car went 260 miles an hour. 15 years ago. That's a long time to be waiting for the next major milestone. And now, who knows how long it'll be before somebody goes 280. Of course, the way Yanni's running, if we get good weather conditions, it might be Houston. But, you know, it was 2006 the first time somebody went into the 540s. So 9 years ago to get that tenth of a second. And it is a big accomplishment. You know, he made the three quickest runs in the history of the sport, four or five fastest runs in the history of the sport. And the car still isn't perfect. You know, his first run went 270 miles an hour. He still pedaled it a little bit. The 536 was pretty strong. But every time you talk to him, you go, well, there might be just a little left. And then he came out, obviously, and was concentrating on winning the race on Sunday, but put another 530 on the board to back up the record, another 270. You know, Steve Harker stepped up, ran 5.40. I'd have to go back and look, but I think what was the quickest run in the history of the sport coming in is now fifth or sixth. And that was just the performance. And, you know, and again, the last time an American-born driver won was Indy last year. So, you know, come on, let's get the home team back on the field here, would we?
You know, you say that, and, of course, we're always talking about building rivalries and fun. And there is the potential for that, hey, you know, root for the Americans against the invading Europeans. But I almost don't want to do it because everybody is, like, super nice. Like, the Lindbergh brothers are, like, great guys, and Steve Harker is very cool. And these people want to be here, and so I don't even want to do that, firing up the American-based fan base to root for one of their drivers, because I'm loving these guys. I'm loving what they're doing with the class.
Well, they're good guys, and they're definitely bringing some excitement, some color to the category. You know, when Frank Manzo announced that he was going to retire a couple of years ago, there were certainly some people that went, well, where's the next superstar coming from? Who's going to be the next one? Is this just going to be, you know, like a wide-open free-for-all for years? Or is there going to be somebody who sets the standard that everybody else tries to measure up to? And, you know, the somebodies that set the standard last year was Steve Harker, and this year so far is Yanni Lindbergh, and he says he's going to hang around for a while. We're going to see him. Last year Steve Harker said, I'm testing, and he tested all the way to the championship. Yanni Lindbergh came over here, I think, to run a partial season, and the way he's running right now, why would you stop? And I don't believe they're planning to.
We're going to talk with him from the Winner's Circle coming up on the show. He will answer that question. Also tell everybody about the big bet he won against Steve Harker for $1, first to go 270, which is kind of a big deal. And Alan, next week I want to dig down a little deeper on this alcohol funny car, just to, you know, give you some info as to what it is. I just want to know, like, in terms of performance, what could these guys be doing? The rules are pretty much the same, and they have a lot on the field. Like, the average of the field, these guys are a tenth ahead. Is it just the way they're adjusting things, or is it the parts that they have, or is it brain power, knowledge, and know-how from where they ran and the track prep they're used to for this? Just, you don't have to answer now, but something I want to ask you next week.
All right, we'll leave that on the table for next week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mia Tedesco, and any other thoughts on the weekend that you may have?
It was just a fun weekend. You know, we had a couple of first-time winners, which is always cool. You know, Miss Mia, and poor Jake Allen. His second start ever, he makes it to the final round and really looked like he was on his way to victory before, you know, something mechanical went wrong with the car down there. But Mia, who is... her and her family have dedicated a lot of time, a lot of resources to this. You know, they own a drag strip up in Pittsburgh, and coming out here and getting it done, her first final round in the alcohol car, her first national event win. She's been to finals in some of the other sportsman categories and came very close to doubling. She went down to the quarterfinals in Super Gas as well this weekend, but it was just a fun race. It's really a shame that we lost Friday to weather, but it's, for me, anyway, it's always a pretty magical moment when they say, hey, we want you to make this announcement. We're sold out. Every seat in that gigantic stadium on Saturday was sold, and the crowd was just tremendous. Sunday was another very strong crowd, very strong day. You know, there are always going to be the haters, the, you know, we don't like it, we don't, you know, it's confusing, it's weird, it's not drag racing, it's this, it's that. But it is wildly entertaining. It is a ton of fun, and again, had dinner with one of my buddies in town last night, and he says, you know, he said, I was watching it on TV, I was confused, I couldn't keep up. He said, I'm not a fan. And I went, okay. He said, but I would like to go see it once. It's like, well, come see it once. And the vast majority of the people that come see it once come back and see it again. So it's a once-a-year deal. It's a fun event. You know, Christian Bird and his staff just do so much to make us feel welcome. They do so much for the fans, some of the giveaways, some of the promotions, some of the things that they do. And spectacular facility, great people, and tremendous event. I'm just sorry that we lost Friday. If we'd have had Friday weather and everybody had two more shots to get their tune-ups locked in and get comfortable with the racing surface, it could have been even better, and it was already spectacular.
Let me throw one more thing out, and then we'll get to our winter views. This is something I mentioned last year. It is not new. I think one of the big problems with Four Wide is that we only do it once, and by the time we get back here, everyone has pretty much forgotten what to do and takes a little time to get used to it. I also know that Las Vegas was originally designed to be a four-wide facility, and they never put in the next two lanes because it was so long ago. The way the schedule works now, at least this year, with Z-Max being four-wide, going to Vegas, what do you think, just generally, of a back-to-back East Coast-West Coast four-wide at the start of the season? That way, this next event would also be four-wide, but on the West Coast, and everybody would know exactly what to do it, how to be successful with no excuses, and would certainly be a lot better next year, and you run both your four wide races, one on the east, one on the west, at the start of the season, and entertain both coasts with it?
I'm not sure if I'd be a fan of that. Part of me thinks, okay, why not take California Speedway and make it a carbon copy of Daytona International Speedway? That way fans on the West Coast can go watch exactly the same race, exactly the same cars, the Super Speedway, the restrictor plates, da-da-da-da-da. And I think that takes some of the shine off of Daytona. I think one of the things that makes Charlotte and makes ZMAX Dragway so special is this is the only place where you can come see this race. And I think that's what makes it special. I think if you did more, if you did one on the West Coast, then Charlotte wouldn't be quite so unique anymore. I don't think you would see guys from Seattle, guys from San Francisco, guys from Las Vegas.
There were a lot.
Charlotte,
there were a lot.
Because they just had to see the four wide, and I think it would take some of what makes Charlotte special away if you did it someplace else.
Interesting opinion. I will ask Antron and see what he thinks. But it definitely, we met a lot of people who had flown in, quote-unquote, bucket list. Had to see it, had to see what it was about. Guys from Seattle, a gentleman on the last night, he came all the way in from Seattle just to see four wide. Was real nice. I do get that perspective, absolutely. So we'll see as it all develops. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you very much. I had a great time this weekend calling the action with you. Now, I know you are headed to Vegas in 2 weeks, but then back to Houston. I will be back out at that race as well. In the meantime, you know what we could do next week, I think?
Take the week off.
Questions for Alan Reinhardt.
Go to Hawaii and hang out with Eddie, with Andrew Hines.
And then still do questions for Alan Reinhardt.
My cell phone doesn't work from Hawaii.
We could use Skype. Could get
I
you
don't
on,
even know what that is.
We could get you on Meerkat. It'll be great.
I don't know what that is either.
Oh, you will. You can't avoid it. So we will ask for questions for Alan Reinhardt, Joe at WFLradio.com, or call them in. Alan, great job as usual, and you cannot escape the questions.
All right. Well, looking forward to the holiday this weekend. Looking forward to basketball this weekend. It's I am a big college basketball fan, even though my guys are not going to be playing. I'm going to be paying a whole lot of attention to what happens in the last couple of games. And if anybody's got a '63 Cadillac hearse that you want to get rid of,
but it doesn't have to be '63.
Email and he'll send it to me.
It doesn't have to be '63. Anything with the fins, right? Isn't that what we decided? That
Just if you know some an old hearse. I don't want a 2004 edition. That wouldn't, that just wouldn't be it.
No,
this thing
creepy.
Looked like an Adams Family car. That was the coolest thing about it.
Exactly. No, it was. This thing was awesome, guys. And the price.
Or
was
if the guy that bought that one is listening and hasn't done anything with it yet, you want to make a quick couple $100, give me a call. Maybe I'll just buy it from you.
There you go. Fair markup. He's into it. All right, Alan. Great job as usual. Thank you.
All right, Joe. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Reinhardt, the voice of the NHRA, joins us each week right here on WFO Radio to start off our show, especially the winners editions. And that's right, folks, we've got the winners. Maybe you're a first-time listener. You're listening on TuneIn or Stitcher. Maybe you're one of those new iHeartRadio listeners. Big welcome to you, folks. If you're listening on iHeartRadio, this is WFO Radio. We've got a couple of shows. This one focused exclusively on the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. And we have got Antron Brown, the four-wide Top Fuel winner, coming up next. Later on in the show, we're going to hear from Andrew Hines. He's like getting ready to go to Hawaii, which is going to be kind of cool for a little vacation. He'll tell us all about it. Talk to him in the winner's circle. Yanni Lindberg, maybe you are from Sweden and you're trying to hear Yanni in the winner's circle. How cool would that be? Like, where could I hear Yanni Lindberg in the winner's circle? Like, right after he won, when the emotions were fresh. Who could give me that? How could that happen? Where could I find that? I wonder. You got it. Click subscribe, baby. Don't ever miss a show. How about David Rampe after winning Superstock? How about Mia Tedesco? You want to hear from Mia right after she wins? And how about Fast Jack Beckman? You want to hear from Jack Beckman? He'll be on WFO Radio, hopefully. We're trying to check him down as we speak. Jack.
Tis I.
Tis you. Will you be able to join us on the program? This guy's surfing. I will call you back if... Okay. You heard that fast. Jack Beckman's going to join us on the show just minutes from now. So click subscribe. Get ready. Carly Jo Ellingson, the Search for a Champion contest winner. It doesn't get better than this. Plus, we'll go back to ZMAX Dragway and we'll hear Pro Stock Motorcycle winner Andrew Hines. My goodness. We got it all on WFO Radio, so stick around. Don't move a muscle. Don't miss anything, because we have got the stars and the winners of the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series. And all these people are very successful people in one way or another. And I know a lot of our listeners are successful people, too. Others are trying to get something going, maybe start a business, maybe get something going. And I got to start it off by saying I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA, which is one of our new sponsors. And they've got something that you are going to be very interested in, I think, or at very least you should. A lot goes into every successful racing-related business, whether it be mechanics or marketing experts, whether it be PR reps or engineers. And a lot goes into those relationships. When it comes to making and building these relationships, sound legal advice and business advice can help you avoid costly mistakes. One of our sponsors, Spiegel & Utrera PA, has something called the General Counsel Club. If you go to WFOradio.com right now, from New York to L.A. to Chicago to Miami and points in between, WFO listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in their General Counsel Club. Well, what does that mean, a 30-day free membership? You can basically call and get free legal and business advice on things like how to buy or sell a business. This is big. Converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses. What are legitimate business expenses for tax purposes? Tips on leasing a business location for retail, office, warehouse, industrial, your race team, for instance. Leasing versus buying options for real estate, vehicles, and equipment. These things are all very applicable to the racing world. Not to mention IRS examinations, audits, liens, levies, deficiencies, settlements, assistance with trademarks and copyrights, drafting of contracts and legal documents, business entities. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club will give you a free 30-day membership. All you have to do is go to WFOradio.com, and there is a banner ad on the right. Click through that. You enter your information, no credit card, no obligation. There is an informative newsletter that comes, and you will get lots of great information. Of course, we welcome them and thank them for supporting WFO Radio and feel like there's a lot of great information to get out of it. And get this, if you go to the website, WFOradio.com, and you click through the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, you will see our logo again, welcoming you, WFO Radio listeners. And if you look at the page, you will see that we have actually produced a 20-episode entrepreneurship podcast called Start or Expand Your Business Today, where Larry Spiegel and myself answer questions from listeners about their businesses, about how to handle certain situations. It's great stuff. So if you want to go through, sign up for your free 30 days, but also be sure to check out some of the show, because it is very, very informative and very helpful to you entrepreneurs out there. And it's something that I'm very happy that they've come on the show as a sponsor. Remember, WFOradio.com, click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad, enter your information, no obligation, no credit card, just a 30-day free membership into the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. It's just one phone call away and might give you the confidence to succeed during the day. Of course, rest well at night. When we come back, Antron Brown going to join us to talk about his four-wide win. Then later on in the show, Jack Beckman. We're going to hear from Fast Jack. We're going to hear from Carly Joe Ellingson, who won the team champion contest. We're going to hear from Andrew Hines as he's like getting ready to, he's putting on his, what is it, Alay? Getting ready for Hawaii. We're going to hear from Yanni Lindberg, Mia Tedesco. We're going to hear from David Rampey. We're going to hear from Brian Loans and myself back out at the track. You don't want to miss a second. Click subscribe. We'll be back with Antron after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the streets. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, WFO radio listeners, if you're in the northern part of the country, I know you're freezing right now. You know what would be great? A hot cup of Rodax coffee. Maybe a little hot sauce, a little spice rub for that food you're cooking in the oven. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They've got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like Bang the Blower and WFO Radio. Their coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world, and it's all roasted fresh per order. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots. They've got exotics. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or just pick up the phone. 817-924-6821. Keep your ear out for those WFO holiday packs. Depends on the holiday what the deal is, but Marvin is wheeling and he is dealing. 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Joining us now, Antron Brown. Now, you told me on Thursday you got the WFO Radio app. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got to have the WFO app, brother, so you can keep up. For people that just are a fan of the sport, all they got to do is throw on WFO if they miss a race, because you get to hear the side-by-side blows from the winners, everybody that was there. You got Al Reinhart on, and you do a great job. You know, I mean, you put out all the different perspectives of NHRA racing. I told you, not only am I just a professional racer in NHRA racing, I'm a fan of the sport, and I love it. And if you're a true fan, you got to have the WFO app.
For more with the stars of drag racing, download the WFO Radio app. Available in the App Store or Android Market. Motorsports entertainment, full interviews with weekly winners, videos, push notifications, and more. Download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, a winner's edition following the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals out there at the Bellagio of Drag Strips. Kind of a hybrid show. We got some of our winner views from the studio. We got some of our winner views from the track. It was chaos. It was mayhem. But it was a great time. Let's get right into it with our Top Fuel winner, back-to-back winner, Antron Brown is with us. AB, welcome back. Congratulations.
Joe, thanks, brother. It's always great to be on the show, man. I mean, you did something good this week, and we let a couple of them get away from us already beginning this year, but it felt really good, especially at the 4-Wide, man. It's the Battle Royal. It's a lot going on. It's a lot of chaos, and to get through there and to come out with a win, that was a really good feeling, especially with the way all of our teams stuck together and been working really hard. And we've been working through some stuff with our Macro Tools U.S. Army Toyota Top Fuel car, man. We've been working through some gremlins and some bugs. We've been having some stuff biting us. And with our new setup and combination, that looked really good. in Pomona, and at the end of last year, and then we had some just little, like little gremlins just trying to bite us, and we fought through it hard and maintained, and it felt good to come out with a win.
A lot of people, and I feel like every time I get ready for the four wide, I feel that the controversy around four wide, should it be, should it not be, do we like it, do we not like it, I kind of feel like I want to get past that argument, and then I go to it, and it's, we lost a day in qualifying, so you guys were, you lost two opportunities to get sharp on the deal, and kind of an ugly couple of rounds, but in the end, whoever wins it, they like it. And does that mean it's worthwhile? Because it's maybe a higher mountain to climb. It might be harder or more unusual. But whoever wins it, they have good things to say about their accomplishment. What do you think about it? I know we talked about it last year. You're a back-to-back winner. Now you've done it again. Give me your perspective here as we continue to advance.
Well, Joe, well, the thing about it is that, you know, a lot of people don't like change. You know what I mean? And the thing about it was that... we had the four wide down. NHRA and Bruton Smith and D-Max Dragway's been doing a phenomenal job the way they came up with the trees and everything else like that to less the confusion down. And then what happened was is that, you know, Z-Max is supposed to be a top tier track. All the Bruton tracks really take care of their track facilities. And they had a couple problems with the concrete coming up last year, so they made a new track surface. And they did a spot-on job getting that all together before four wide and making it happen. And then what threw another kink in the wrench was, is that you have new lanes, but what threw a really big kink was the rain on Friday. It took out two runs so you couldn't season a track in. You get what I mean? People couldn't get sharp. So you went into race day and you only ran two of the lanes. So that made that, like, you know, it's already challenging running four different lanes. But then you just throw a kink on it where you couldn't even get two more laps down to even run every lane. You get what I mean? So that's what really made it really, really difficult this year. And that's why it was a challenge going into race day, because some guys got thrown in lanes they'd never been down, and they had to learn it. You had to learn that lane. You had to learn where you can give it some power. And this is the other kink that people don't realize, you know, that the fans don't see because they're not behind the scenes in the crew chief trailers, is that the weather out there was in the mid-50s, and we had dry air, super dry air, like 20 to 15 grains of water in the air, okay? And the barometer was like a mid-29. So we had weather conditions out there where it was like almost 200 feet below sea level. So we were dealing with power beyond power. Like, we were seeing more power in the top fuel car than we've seen anywhere. And the same thing, look at Pro Stock Car. They broke the world record. Pro Stock Motorcycle almost went 200 miles an hour. So with us, we had to deal with a new track surface on the start line. But once you got after 100 feet, you could put whatever you want to it and run hard. And our U.S. Army team showed that, and so did our Red Fuel team. And so did all of our funny car teams. They showed once you got past the start line about 100 feet, you let it rip like a potato chip, and you can go out there and run some phenomenal ETs. So with that being said, is it was a whole bunch of stuff that a lot of teams were dealing with out there because of that. You know what I mean? It wasn't just the four wide. It was the rain on Friday. It was the extraordinary power that we had. And the surface was great for how soon they did it. So with all that being said, there was a lot of things being thrown in that ball of wax to make it difficult on everybody to make it happen. And it felt really cool that our Macro Tool team kept their head down and were able to sneak through there. And the second round was an Uzi, because nobody in our quad made it 80 feet because everybody knew who we were running, and we went out there trying to throw a world record run down, and none of us made it 40 feet. So with that being said, it felt good to sneak past that round, and then we came back in the final, and we approached it a little bit different way, and were able to sneak out there with that win with a great run in the final.
Track surface, grade it, A, B, C, how did they do?
Oh, the track surface, I think it was great. I mean, it just needs runs on it. That's it. I mean, I think it's one of the best track surfaces. I mean, the lanes were super smooth. They weren't bumpy. They weren't hopping you all around. But the thing about it was is that the track was real thin on the starting line areas. That's where it was hard, and you can't do nothing with that until you just get more cars down the racetrack in each and every lane. You know what I mean? But once you got past 100 feet, the track could held whatever you want to throw at it to go fast and go hard. You know, so with that being said, is that when we come back there in the fall, it's gonna, I mean, the weather's right, you're gonna look for some phenomenal runs where you can see like all the classes getting close to breaking world records. You know, the pro side bikes were close, and Funny Car came close, and Top Fuel, we came close. I mean, Tony went out there and ran a 72 flat. If we could have got on the starting line a little harder, I mean, it could have broke the record out there also. So I think the track surface, they did a great job on preparing and getting it ready to get it like that. And all it needs now is just a little time of some cars going up and down the track to make the starting line better.
Were they able to get rid of what the crew chiefs called the ski jump? Is that now a thing in the past?
Oh, that's all gone. That's done. No, there's no more ski jumps or nothing like that. They did a phenomenal job the way they brought the grade back on the track where you take off. There's nothing on there hindering you on the start line where you jump off the little deal. What happened was they had a flat and it broke down right where your front tires were, where you came off, and it made a hard transition when your back tires came across it. That's all gone now. Everything is on the same like, you know, parallel state. So when you take off the start line now, the whole track is just perfect with each other, where it just goes straight and it goes smooth. No jump offs, no ski slopes. Everything's on the same level now. So they did a phenomenal job getting that done, and that's why we love going there, because if they have to fix something, they'll fix it. Those Bruton Smith tracks, and that's why we love going there.
What did you think when Pat Dakin went 371? Where were you when that happened, and were you privy to the knowledge that it went down? And what were you thinking about it?
Oh, let me tell you something. I was sitting in my car. And I was like, what? And the thing about it was, it's like, it gave everybody a little false sense of hope, because that was the first run. Everybody goes, oh, we can give it some more. You know what I mean? And what I'm telling you, you know, Pat Dakin and their crew guys are out there, you know, they work real hard, and you hear a lot of people in the pit saying that couldn't happen, that can't happen. Well, I tell you what, Pat Dakin's car, I mean, they ran low 80s before, like 80 flats and stuff like that. They took us out before. And we know what that car is capable when it leaves the start line. When it leaves the start line, those guys get after it. And then, and what happens is that track, like I told you with the power level, well, it's so hard to address in those kind of conditions where you think you're supposed to, you back it down enough, and you didn't back it down enough. And I think that's what happened in the case where happened to a few of us out there. I mean, we blew the tires away because we couldn't back it down enough. And they backed theirs down right enough where the track held everything that they stepped on the gas to do. You know what I mean? They had a phenomenal 60-foot, a credible split from the 60 to 330, and they went 207, which is the fastest anybody's ever been to a 330. And then their car just did their normal numbers after that, where they came through and ran a 72. So with that being said was, I mean, they just nailed it. Like, all the stars lined up at the right time. You know what I mean? And that's what it takes. So now they got something to build from, so you never know what to expect from them in the future, because now they see how to run hard early. But I mean, I tell you what, that 125 split from the 60 to 330, I guarantee you that was on the edge of making it and not making it. Trust me. So it couldn't handle no more, and they got everything they could get out of it, man. So kudos to them. And now it's just for all of us that we can run harder at that 330 split.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned in the winner's circle and obviously in the media center, and for you listeners out there, Antron and I have spoken about his win now, like, this is the fourth time. So obviously there's some other things that we can get into a little deeper, though, on WFO. You mentioned Connolly's 18 reaction time. You had a 28 in the first round. And then in the second round, you're side-by-side with this guy again, actually one lane across, and he just, it's a nuclear explosion practically. And you had said that you felt it, but not only that you felt it, but that you felt like it moved your car. Is that hyperbole? Are you saying that as an exaggeration? Or is that possible? Could it have actually concussed you over a little bit?
Well, the thing about it, it didn't move my car over a little bit, but you definitely felt something happen, because I heard a loud boom. You know what I mean? Like, you felt a percussion, and I almost thought it was something going wrong with my car. You get what I mean? So, and then once my car kept on going, I knew it wasn't me. But I said, somebody must have grenaded one, you know what I mean? And that's what you can tell on these cars, because the propulsion of it, you could feel it, you know what I mean? And that was a big bang that he had. And obviously something had to go wrong somewhere where, like, you know, they ignited the fresh charge up in his manifold, because that's how my car's blown up when we took the rear tires out. It's like, if you have a
if an intake valve or something malfunctions, or you break a keeper that holds the intake valve, and then that charge lights up all your fresh charge in your manifold, that's when you get those big booms and pops like that. You know what I mean? So I was just glad that Dave was all right. And he's got a phenomenal team over there, so they're going to get him back together and getting right. And it's just growing pains, man, just like everybody else goes through. And they're going to be all right. And Dave's a heck of a driver, because you see how he nails the tree. But that track gave you a little bit of false sense of tree. I don't know what was going on with it, but all I can tell you was that everybody had really good reaction times. Great, great reaction times at that racetrack. So maybe the lights were a little bit different, the rollout was a little bit different, or they had some different stuff in the tree. I have no idea. But, you get that from track to track you go to. But I'm telling you, that track was definitely like about 200s quicker on the way the reaction times are reading now. You get what I mean? So with that being said, I'm normally like a high 40 guy, low 50 guy. And when we were out there, I cut a 28, and I cut a 28 two rounds back-to-back. In the final, the sun was on the tree, and I couldn't see the tree as good because it wasn't shaded, and I cut a 41. So I knew I was a little late there because the sun was on the tree. But besides that, I cut two 28s, and Dave cut an 18 and a 38. So that tree definitely had some stuff going on. There was a lot of people cutting 30s and 40s out there. So with that being said, that was pretty cool to be on the game like that. But I can't take that credit. I'm sure Dave can't take that credit, because we both know that we go to another racetrack, we're not going to be in the 20s and teens like that. Trust me.
Something I noticed at the four wide, and I'll ask Andrew Hines about it later as well, but it's kind of a weird thing. I want your opinion on it, in that we want to create rivalries and all, and we want you guys to all want to fight for that bone and go out and defeat your opponents and all. But at the four wide, it's really weird, because when two drivers advance, you guys are like embracing each other and hugging each other and high-fiving each other. And it could be someone from another team. It could be someone that, maybe you got a good relationship in the pits, but there is this palpable sense of, wow, we made it through, us together. And people are high-fiving. What's up with that? Explain that feeling of camaraderie for the two drivers, whoever they may be, that you made it through.
Well, one thing of it is that, If you think of it, it's kind of like the Hunger Games. If you watch the movie The Hunger Games.
Oh yeah, of course.
So the crazy part is the survival of the fittest. You get what I mean? And the first two rounds are like, I call them heats. It's like heats. It's like when you're racing other sports like Supercross and everything. You got so many that make it through the heat that make it to the final. And that's kind of what the four wide is. You got two from each round of the first two heats can make it to the final, to the main. And once you get to the main, it's a winner take all. You get what I mean? So when you get in two of those spots, from the first two heats, I will call it, like, you're just happy because you just survived. You know what I mean? It's dog eat dog world, but you survived. So whoever you survive with, you're kind of like, whoo, we made it. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong. I mean, me and Steve-O are really good friends, and trust me, he wants to take me out. At the end of the day, he wants to whip my tail, and he tells me all the time, he goes, AB, man, I got to get you, man. I'm coming here to take you out. And that's how we go in the final. When we go in the final, trust me, in the final, ain't nobody happy in the final. Like, you're happy if you won it, but you're not happy if you got second place, trust me. You get what I mean? You want to win that thing, and that's the kind of feel that you get when you go into it, because it's a battle royal, Joe, man. Go in there and somebody takes you out, and you're not those two top cars that are advancing, man, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth, because there's a lot of points you left on the table. You know what I mean? You lose that second round. It's not like you're a semifinalist. You know, you lost second round when you don't go to the finals. You get what I mean? When you get to the finals, there's a 40-point spread left on the board. You could, if you win it, you got 40 more points than the other two guys that lost it, but you got 20 more points than the guy that runner up. You get what I mean?
Sure.
So there's a lot of points for stake, but it's survival of the fittest, and you just want to make it to that final round. That's the whole key of the game. You want to make it to that final four quad, and then you leave everything, and then you leave nothing on the table. You give it all you got.
I like that. Four wide is like the Hunger Games, says Antron Brown, which makes you Katniss Everdeen, which is fine. She's very cool and tough. Great with a bow. How are you with a bow and arrow there, Antron?
I'm not good with a bow, but I'm good with a shotgun, brother.
There you
That's
go.
That's what I shoot with.
He'll be running for the shotgun, not the bow. That's a good thing. Hey, Antron, one more thing. Don Schumacher. Since his return at Gainesville, you guys have gone doubled up back-to-back, which is just so difficult and tremendous and all. There's been this outpouring of love and admiration for the Don, who puts together this team and, frankly, employs a lot of people in the sport of drag racing we all love. And I just want your thoughts on what it's like to work for him. Clearly, he'll be the first to tell you. He told us all in the media center after Gainesville that his health issues have given him a renewed perspective on life, on everything, a way he deals with people. However, always known to be a tough guy, taskmaster, wants results. You guys really all seem to respond. You're not related to the man. You were employed by the man. I can understand his family and all really having this outpouring, but you, Jack, everybody have really poured out the emotions over the past couple of races at the return of Don Schumacher. NHRA.com is reporting 44 double-ups. I heard ESPN report 47 double-ups. I know that you guys have gone back-to-back. Tell me about the return of Don Schumacher and how it has been motivating to you, and what is it like to work for him now that he has returned?
Oh, definitely. Let me tell you something. I want to get everything straight with a lot of people. A lot of people always have this misconception of Don being hard and everything else like that, because they see his face demeanor where he's always even kiltered. And I could tell you one thing. I've been with Don, who's been just like he's a blessing to be around, because you can learn so much stuff from him. And the reason being is he never gets upset. You never see him, like, he can get into an argument with somebody, and it's not an argument to him. He's just trying to figure the problem out. Never raises his voice. He never gets, like, up-tempo. You know what I mean? He does get excited when he wins. And the thing about it is, at the end of the day, he's one of those guys that strives for greatness. And not just for winning, but for keeping all of his drivers safe, giving all of his crew chiefs what they need. He's always there for all of our families. Let's just say if you got something going on in your family and is an ailment. I remember he flew my assistant crew chief, Brad, home because he had some trouble in his family and one of his relatives weren't doing well. So Don flew him on his personal jet from a race to take him to Missouri, where he's from. That's the kind of man Don Schumacher is. He's a passionate man, but the thing about it is, when it comes to racing, he doesn't like to lose. He doesn't like to lose anything he does. He just won a fishing tournament this other weekend. He likes to win, and what he does is he just wants to have all the necessary equipment that's needed, all the tools, and he wants to put the right people in the right places where they feed off each other. And he has grown DSR to a point where we are very competitive every week in and week out, and the way we're doing that is we have no crew chiefs with egos. All of our crew chiefs work together, and that's something that he's been wanting to implement for a long time. And he's got the right people in the right places. So now that we see that, when we interact with each other, we work with each other, you can see how all of our teams and all of our funny car teams and top field teams, we don't struggle for long. We can have one team that struggles, like, look at Jack Beckman's car. They didn't qualify. Jimmy Pratt came over, changed everything around, got everything going. They didn't qualify at the first race. They stayed after different races with different crew chiefs. Everybody's helping back and forth. And now, he went out and won this race. You get what I mean? Our car was struggling. We're going back and forth, working back and forth with all of our guys. Brian and Mark got our head down. We're leaning on the Army car, seeing what they're doing. Neil's coming over. We see what the Fram car's doing. We're all working together. Bam, we come out with a win. All of our top fuel cars has won a race this year. So with that being said, that's what Don orchestrates. You know, and when he comes out, you can feel that vibe when he comes back out, because we're all feeling good that he's back out the races. He's bringing that positive, motivating force behind him, that stronghold. Like, you know, when you have your team owner out there who actually does everything he could do for all of our guys and for all of our teams, for the whole organization of DSR, all the guys at the shop, the head administration staff, and you look at him, he's back out there. You know, we got our full team back. That's what I should say. Because when we were racing the first couple races without him being there, we were missing that driving force. And now we got our driving force back behind us. And that's what Don, Sarah, Megan, and the whole family is to us. That's what we do. And you could look at all of our crew chiefs and ask them, and all of our team guys, all of our drivers, and they'll tell you that same deal. You know what I mean? Don only comes over to motivate you and push you to what you're capable of. And that's what you can ask all of our drivers that he gets on. He gets on them a little bit. He'll get on them talking about, hey, if the crew guys are working that hard, the crew chiefs are working that hard, so should our drivers be working that hard. And that's what we all do. If we all work as hard as we can and put our best effort forth, there's nothing to lose. And when you go out there, that's what brings those great race results. And that's what Don brings to the table, and that's what he pushes all of us to do.
Antron, I appreciate you giving us that information, and I think about what drag racing would look like without Don Schumacher right now, and it would certainly be a very different sport, and I really have no idea what it would look like. Now, you have taken over the points lead. You are the points leader heading into Vegas, so the next race will be Vegas, April 10th through 12th, heading back out west. We talked about this last year. I want to run it by you again. That facility was designed initially for four lanes. That's why the right-hand scoreboard is so far over, but it is a two-lane drag strip. Would it be better for everything in general, you as a driver, the crew chiefs, everyone, if there were two four-wide races back-to-back, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast for the Westies out there, so that everyone could get used to it right at the beginning of the year, and the early season Vegas race would have an extra pop for their fans out there, something different to see? What do you think of that?
I honestly, Joe, I think that would be the way it needs to be, honestly. I think it's kudos, and I think the four wide does something special for live TV. And the thing about it is, I think that we need that on the West Coast, because you could tell with the weather that we had in Charlotte, was the stands not packed on Saturday and Sunday?
They
were close to 30,000 to 40,000 people there both days. You get what I mean? And that's what's going to help initiate and make our sport go to another level. And that's what I think is special when you go to a racetrack twice, because you're bringing two different events there when you come there twice. Because I know for sure when we go to Vegas in the spring, it's not the same as the fall. The fall Vegas is always a bigger race than the spring. You get what I mean?
Sure.
But when we go to Charlotte, the four wide brings everybody and their mama out, and then we come back there in the fall for the normal race, which is a countdown race. Everybody and their mama comes back because it's a countdown race. And Vegas could bring that same appeal, because then we'll bring that four wide on the West Coast. You know what I mean? I think the one cool part is, I think when we race four wide, I think that what we need to do is, we need to make it, even though we have weather, we need to still make it where all the teams get four runs, where every team gets a run down each lane. If we have to adjust the schedule, even if it rains, that's the only thing that we need to make the four wide better and make it even for all the teams. You get what I mean?
Absolutely.
If we did that, and then we could have two races, on, like, you know, one in Charlotte, one in Vegas, I think that would be the cat's meow, my friend. And I think all the teams and drivers and everybody and the fans will love it, because then we'll be able to bring it to the West Coast, which will even have a bigger pop out there, too. You know what I mean? I think that's definitely the way we need to go.
And the second time around, you guys would be so much more in practice. It would be even better. Instead of doing it just once, twice, we just spent like several million dollars of Bruton's money. But, hey, that's what these shows are for, speculation and second-guessing.
Well, the thing about it is at the end of the day, when you look at it, you know what I mean? When you come out there, guys race all the teams that's been at the four wides, okay? They raced it last year. They raced the year before. We know how the clocks is. Everybody's got tape. Go on ESPN3. You can look at the four wide last year. Study up on it. The people that have problems with the four wides are the ones that are doing their homework, plain and simple. They're showing up the race. I mean, can you win a Super Bowl championship if you just show up and play somebody? Can you win an NBA championship if you just show up and play somebody if you ain't study film on the team on what they do?
No.
No. You can't. Okay, so how's our sport any different? When we're racing one team at a time, do you think that we don't know that driver's characteristics, the driver does? Do we not know what that team's characteristics are or what they're capable of doing when we race them?
Yes, we know what they're capable of. We know what they do. Does that affect the way we race them? Absolutely. We'll go up there, we'll adjust for it and say, we need to do this, and this is going to give us our best chance of winning this round. Okay, with that being said, why don't you study the four wide from the previous year to know how the tree operates or how it comes down? So if anybody uses that as an excuse that they hate it because they don't understand it because they didn't prepare for it. It's like going to a test and not studying for it and expecting to get an A. It's not going to happen.
Antron, great points. Winning back-to-back doesn't happen by accident, my friend. Thank you for coming on WFO Radio and sharing it with us. We certainly appreciate it. Enjoy your week off. I'm sure you got a lot going on between now and Vegas, but thanks for coming on WFO. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Joe. Love being on, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, Antron. Antron Brown with us here on WFO Radio. Throwing down the gauntlet, so to speak, following the four-wide Nationals back-to-back wins. How can you expect to pass a test if you haven't studied? That is, those are words to live by. Isn't that true? For all you kids out there, great to hear from Antron. Lots of great information in that interview. Always is when Antron Brown is on the air. And kind of cool, I was watching the television broadcast, and in all honesty, my DVR did not record the last little bit, which is unfortunate. But I did get to see 90% of the program, and I felt like everything but the final rounds. And I felt like, which is my fault, that's my fault, I should set the DVR with the extra 30 minutes afterwards. But whatever, it happens. But a cool shot. I saw myself on there in the background around Antron talking about Connolly's explosion. Live TV, you never know. It was great. I enjoyed it. I love the fact that the social media was current. And you could tweet stuff and people were watching and it was a great thing. I really enjoyed it. So hopefully you folks did too. We got more to come. You heard Jack Beckman call in. He's coming on. We're going to have him next. Then we're going to hear from Carly Joe Ellingson, the team champion contest for Champion Spark Plugs. That's right. Two out of the three WFO Radio supported candidates were victorious overall. What does that mean about you folks? That's really the deal. We're going to talk to Carly Joe and ask her about it. Found out early today, and it's just shocking. It really is. But I keep saying that word over and over again. So we'll just hear from Carly Joe and hear what she has to say about how she won. Can't wait to hear that. Later on in the show, we're going to take you back to ZMAX and hear from Yanni Lindberg, hear from Mia Tedesco, hear from David Rampe, and even myself and co-announcer Brian Loans from Bankshift.com recapping it all in the staging lanes after it was all over. Stick around for that. But first, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Have you thought about what it would be like to drive a dragster? We've been talking about something here on the show for a while now, and it's pretty cool. CompetitionPlus.com has got their Legends series about Frank Hawley. We put that up on our Facebook page. And truly a legend. When do you get to learn from a legend? Or be around a legend? The guy is truly one of the greatest of all times as a driver, the mind of a driver, how to be a winner. But he also knows that not everybody wants to go out and be a champion, be a professional driver, be a fast Jack Beckman. There's a lot of people that just want the experience. They're very happy watching on television or watching their friends and family do it. And they just want the experience. They want a little taste. And so Frank Hawley has created this program called the Dragster Adventure. And they travel the country with it. So they're coming to a track near you. What I would suggest you do is open a browser and go to frankhawley.com. That's Frank Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y.com. Do it now. There's even a click-through on the front page of WFOradio.com. And you can see that the Dragster Adventure, in addition to their Super Gas and Super Comp and Top Alcohol Funny Car courses, if you want to do that and get licensed and be a competitive driver, or maybe you're a bracket racer, you're not winning enough, you want to get better, by all means, give them a call and tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. They can help you. They can absolutely help you on the mental side of it. But maybe you're a fan and you just want the experience. I hear Antron talking about it. I hear Fast Jack Beckman talking about the experience of driving a dragster engine behind you. This is for you. Courses start at $399. For side-by-side racing, it's a little more expensive. But you'll accelerate from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds. You'll reach 130 miles per hour in the quarter mile. This is the kind of thing that you do on a bachelor party or for a sales team or a recruitment for your clients. You bring them together and you say, we're doing something special. You guys have been so great to me and my business. I want to take you out and do something special. And they will remember it forever. the Dragster Adventure. Now, it's $399, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, for a one-time deal, I don't know if I can sway that. Well, they'll break it into four easy payments. You got to give them a call and ask, say, I heard it on WFO. I hear you'll break it into four easy payments, and they will do it. 866-480-7223. But here's my plan. This is what we've been talking about on the very popular Ignition show that is on the website right next to Nitro. You should have an envelope. And every week when you hear me do this spot, you put whatever you can into the envelope. And the envelope says Dragster Adventure on it. You're driving. You're not riding. You're not a passenger. This isn't some ride-along. This is you in control. You'll make multiple runs. It's a great experience. So every week when you hear the show, you go to the envelope. You put a little something in the envelope. Costello's talking about this envelope. I'll get the envelope. What the heck? Let's see what happens. And you put a little money in the envelope. What is it? Is it $5? Is it $10? Is it $20? Do you have a 50 sitting around? Is it $100? Big hit? Who knows? Maybe, you know, you get a card for Easter. It's got a $20 bill in it from Grandma. And Graham sends you the money. You put it in the envelope for something even bigger. When she sent you the money, she thought you were going to go out and buy some Cadbury cream eggs with it. And in actuality, you are going to use it for something bigger that will last a lifetime in your memory, something that is a true experience. Look, obviously I'm giving you the hard sell because I know how great it is. And I know that there is a certain hurdle between. That's why they sponsor us on WFO Radio. They understand we're doing these interviews and we're bringing the drivers on, but we really want to make every fan into someone who has experienced it. And the Dragster Adventure is a vehicle for doing it. The Dragster Adventure is how it happens. So give them a call, 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. We'll be back with Jack Beckman right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
The stars of drag racing, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Don Schumacher with us here on WFO Radio after his 200th career win.
I am of the same nature as George Steinbrenner is. I hate to lose. I hate for any of my teams to lose unless they're racing one of my other teams. Then it's may the best man win, and we'll just go on forward from there.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. And if you're a first-time listener, you're listening to this show saying to yourself, well, what is this that I have stumbled upon, either on iHeartRadio or Stitcher or the free WFO Radio application? Maybe you're that guy I talked to in the hotel room at the out in ZMAX. Welcome to the show. You hear the winners on this show. They call in. They talk about what they did in length, at length, in depth, and even from the beach where they're surfing. Joining us now, the funny car winner at ZMAX, Jack Beckman, is joining us. Jack, welcome back.
Here I am, brother.
How are you? So what, you win at ZMAX, and then you fly back to California, and you hit the shore to hang 10. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's been a rough 3 days. You know what's interesting? I I'm not saying this to be sarcastic. I forgot. It's been so long since I've won a national event. We won the 2013 Traxxas Showdown. But that's not a national event win. I forgot that when you win a national event, there's all these perks, the post-race interviews. Like, you and I are buddies, and we talk at the track, but I was beginning to wonder what it took to get on your show, and you just reminded me you got to win a race. So this is pretty cool.
Got to win a race. Although, it wasn't that long ago, we had you on because you had big breaking news. But, yeah, we try to make it like it's part of the win. You can't cash it, and you can't spend it. But it's something that you earn, and it seems like you're cool with that.
Joe, it's almost as if you're icing on the cake.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I like it. Now, listen, icing on the cake was a 398 in the final. Icing on the cake was winning at four wide, which is so tough. It seems like people don't really like it unless they win it, then they love it because it's really hard to do.
Well, you know what's interesting is people tend to misquote, take things out of context, and insert their own subjective ideas into things that you've said. I never once said that I didn't like four wide racing. I've been consistent since the day NHRA announced it. I think it's incredibly exciting. I think it's an amazing thing to participate in and spectate, but I never thought it should be for points. It didn't mean I didn't like it. I've always enjoyed it. And I've won it twice, and I don't like it any more or less because I always thought it was completely bitchin'. It's just a different way to watch drag racing. I still think it probably would be best if it wasn't a points thing,
wow.
Even though that helped us, obviously.
Oh, clearly, and I wasn't even referring to you. I was speaking more of a general attitude that I kind of sense from racers over the course of the weekend. But one thing you can't deny, that monster grandstand on both sides was packed, and they were on their feet, and they were cheering and yelling, and you can really see the acceleration of these cars when there's four, and maybe one drops out, and you got three pulling away. It's a visual spectacle.
Yeah, you know what? Friday was it's too bad when you get rained out. It's too bad for a lot of different reasons. We never show up at a race hoping we don't get to make all the qualifying runs, hoping that we can skip a run and rest a little bit more. We want to put on a show for the fans, and even as important as that, we want data. We want to leg our car down the track as often as we can and find things out. So when Friday was rained out, it was really tough. And Saturday was really, really cold. But both sides of that racetrack were packed, and that is awesome. You know, it's not like driving a nitro funny car. You need extra motivation to do the things right that you're supposed to do. But when you get pushed out into the burnout box and you're getting set up before they fire you up, and you look out into the stands on both sides and they're just packed top to bottom, it really gets your juices flowing.
Well, it was an awesome weekend, and let's talk a little bit about your round by round, but clearly the final round. This team was put together by Don Schumacher, brought over from Force, because he wants to see success out of this team. And there was a little while of getting up to speed. I want to know a little bit about that now that you have broken through with a victory. The 4-flat and the 398 sure sound like a statement out of the Infinite Hero team.
How about this, Joe? We're still not exactly where we want to be. In other words, there's still a lot of room for improvement, and Jimmy made some fairly dramatic changes after qualifying ended Saturday. That guy's just so ballsy. He's not afraid to say, you know what, I don't like the way a certain segment of this run looks, and I think I've got a way to fix it. Let's make a big change. I'm not that gutsy, but that's why he's been so successful over the years. And up till Sunday, I'd raced 5 races with Jimmy Prock, John Medlin, and Chris Cunningham stayed on from last year, and we only won one round. One round of racing. I never would have thought we would have struggled that much and taken that long to get things together. And there's other things that come into play. We've missed qualifying sessions due to weather. We've had some dumb luck. But overall, you overcome dumb luck by good decisions. And I've always said that we need to give Jimmy 20 runs to the finish line, because this combination is significantly different than what he ran over John Force's car. He initially was going to come over and just bring his entire combination. And then he saw a lot of things with the DSR tune-up and parts that he liked, so he's kind of created a hybrid, but that takes time to get used to what the car is telling you. So I think the final round there at Z-Max was probably our 17th or 18th run to the finish line. So I'm pretty close to my prediction. But there's still a couple things that we need to zero in on, and that's what we use qualifying for. You know, you try to unload on the first qualifying run, get solidly in the show, and then start tweaking on stuff and figuring out what works best. And now we'll test after Vegas, regardless if we win the race or not. I'm hoping we win the race.
Imagine that. Was it tough for you in between wins? You mentioned that it's hard to notice, you know, how long to add. You're not going home and adding, well, that's 14 races since I've won. And you're the kind of guy that is a big personality, and everyone wants to talk to you no matter what. As much as we joke about coming on WFO, you're doing a large number of media obligations about the sport. You're educating people about what's going on behind the scenes, regardless of your personal performance. That having been said, having won a championship a couple of years ago and not getting to taste that victory as much as you want to has to be tough. Now you're back and you got momentum and you got a solid team, and even your sponsorship is something that you really love and truly believe in. It's got to be a good time to be Jack Beckman right now.
Well, but you know what? I always thought it was a good time to be Jack Beckman, and because I think I'm a cup-half-full type of guy. And trust me, Joe, it's not lost on me. I'm very, very, very lucky to have the job that I do, and I enjoy it tremendously. But it has been tough. You know, I guess it'd be a lot like being a Major League Baseball player, and you wanted to do this since you were a kid. You got your dream shot. You're getting to play in the big leagues. Except your team is 25-70, and you're like, I love everything about what I do. I just would love it to all come together. And it's been tough that nothing has come together for the last 2.5 years. It really has been tough, but I got 2 little kids at home, and I got a great wife, so it's not like to have a bad weekend at the races, it's devastating, and that's all-consuming to me. It's incredibly important, and it's very difficult when we don't perform well. But I'm telling you, I'm a lucky, lucky guy to get a paycheck to drive a Nitro Funny car. And I don't feel like I deserve anything more than a Jeff Arend or a John Hale. You know, people that have really, really tried hard to get into the sport. And I've been fortunate enough to so far get 16 wins. But I got to tell you, they're addicting. Once you start winning races, there's no other cure for it. What's that Saturday Night Live skit? They need more cowbell. You need more Wally. And to go 2.5 years without getting there, and I think we've only had one final round, had three final rounds in 2013 and only one last year. It was difficult, and you just never know if your last win was your last win, period. And I don't know that I'll ever win another race again, but I'm pretty sure that we will. And it's a nice feeling knowing every time you guys unload your car, you got a great shot of putting that thing in the winner's circle. And the other thing that's kept my head above water and kept me grounded is the stuff that we're doing with Incident Hero off the racetrack and at the racetrack. But that's as important, if not, actually that's way more important than what we're doing on the racetrack. To be able to help out the wounded veterans that are coming back and do some good for the military folks that gave more than was asked of them, that's pretty awesome.
And Jack, if you could, I know you're on a hands-free. It sounds like you're like hitting it hard. You're almost too loud. If you could just adjust it a little bit just for this next question, and we'll see where we're at right there. But you're seventh in the point standings. This was a crazy weekend because we lost those two sessions. We're doing the four wide and a new track surface. You were over there in lane one for a lot of the weekend, and it seemed like that was a great place to be because you just look straight down at your tree, at your lines. Some guys struggling with it. You seemed comfortable with it. Clearly, you made it to the winner's circle.
I'm a student of the sport, Joe. I'm smart enough to realize that I'm not that smart. I'm a slow learner. I think it's what made me a good teacher at the Frank Holly Drag Race School. It takes me a while to get things, so maybe I work a little harder at it. And there was a lot of staging issues, red lights, deep stages, timing out there in qualifying and elimination. Four wide is very difficult. We do a specific job at the starting line 23 times a year, and then one time a year it's completely different. That staging changes everything up there. But I take time and go over it. I go up there in pro stock motorcycle runs, and I pretend I'm up there staging, and I go through the sequences there, and I think that that was important. And the other interesting thing that made it harder on the crew chiefs is not only did we only get two qualifying sessions, but that meant automatically that there was two lanes that we didn't get any data in. And in years past, you just go back to prior data from that racetrack. Well, they just resurfaced the entire facility. So there was no usable data, and we had made our qualifying runs in lane three and then lane two. And Jimmy, John, and Chris Cunningham made another gutsy move and picked lane one come Sunday. And it obviously was the right decision. You know, and the other thing you were talking about, we laid down a 398 in the final round. I don't like to let my ego get in the way of winning the race. And I think that it's very easy on Sunday for us funny car drivers to want to roll the car in at the starting line a little bit further. It automatically makes our reaction time look better. But it takes that away from the ET on the car. It's basically just a trade-off. But in the final round, it really doesn't matter because it can't cost you lane choice. There's no next round. So I asked Chris Cunningham, I said, do you care how I stage for the final? He said, no, do whatever you want. I said, well, do you think the car is going to run better than it did at a semi? We went four flat. He said, yeah, we're going to step on a little bit. And I said, then I'm not going to ruin the ET slip with my ego. I'll stage shallow and see if we can get a three to come up on the board. And then fortunately, everything worked out perfect.
Well, that's entertainment as well. This is a live TV show, and we're trying to make this sport bigger than it is. And you got NASCAR on a secondary network, drag racing on a big network, ESPN. It's live, it's four wide, it's unusual. I've already communicated with several people that I know for sure, Jack, don't watch drag racing on a regular basis, but they saw it. And when that three-second run comes up on the board, in the final round, the guys winning the race, that's entertainment. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but, you know, Jimmy and Chris and John sure made it look easy, but I got to tell you, I wish we could do a behind-the-ropes deal so the fans could see all the intricacies that it takes to tune one of these cars, the 18 different clutch levers, the 8 different flows, each timer, each clutch weight there, the timing map that goes into the car, the blower overdrive, the fuel regulator, the fuel curve on the thing, the bypass valves. It's stunningly complicated. If I was a crew chief, our car would never hurt anything because it would never even start up. I'm not that smart. And if the fans really saw how many, it's an infinite level of possibilities that go into a tune-up, and then to watch a team run as well as we did over three runs, a 405, a 4-flat, a 398, and go out there and just put an exclamation point on it, the crew made it look easy. I mean, for me, all I had to do is not screw it up. It's not me being humble. That was all about driving the best race car on Sunday.
Very cool stuff. Are your crew chief set up? By the way, you just listed it. You could easily live stream all the decisions that go on behind the scenes on like Meerkat or Periscope, something that I'm experimenting with that you can live stream right now. All those details and all the other teams would be very interested to see exactly what you're doing. You could do it anytime you want.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd pay a lot of money. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. You could literally tell the other teams which clutch lever you're running, which radius in the arms, how much lockup weight, and it still won't work in their car. Each chassis has its own idiosyncrasies. Each driver does their own things different. Tire pressure, wheelie bar height. There's so many different variables that go in there that they can have all of Jimmy Prok's cheat sheet notes, and the car still ain't going to respond the same.
Unreal. It seems very, very difficult. How about winning for Don Schumacher? The outpouring, we just heard from Antoine Brown, and the outpouring of emotion dating back to Gainesville when he made his first appearance at the track. I know you guys talked on the phone, but there was that leadership aspect of it, that the guy who is the leader of this team comes out, and people responded to it. They responded in Gainesville, and they responded again out at Z-Max, and it's a very emotional winner's circle, watching everybody hug, and Megan is down there, and Antron's down there, and you're down there, and you're all taking part in this victory, knowing what Don went through. Give me your perspective. We heard Antron's. Give me your perspective on what it's like to work for Don Schumacher, especially now that he has returned to the game after some time away.
I think I said it when you interviewed me up on the podium when the trophy presentation went on. Don Schumacher put me on the map for Nitro Racing. Yes, I had won a championship in Supercomp, but it doesn't get nearly the exposure in the press that the pro categories do. I probably wouldn't have a single win if it wasn't for Don. He's a brilliant man. He's clearly in a class by himself when it comes to running a business and then running a Nitro team. God, I hope I can work for the man for years to come, but it's important he takes care of himself. You know, he's not completely out of the woods. I've been through this with the cancer. You go through the treatments, you get the right diagnosis, the right protocols go in, and they tell you you're in remission, but it never really goes away. And I don't mean from a physiological standpoint. Psychologically, it's tough to separate yourself from that. There are some shadows that follow you around for a while. And you also got to make sure that it doesn't come back. You're doing the right things physically there. So I'm sure Don is going to be a changed man, if not forever, then certainly in the near term. And, God, I think the right antidote for that is he comes back at Gainesville and the Schumacher Nitro cars double up. His next race is Charlotte and the Schumacher Nitro cars double up. You know, I've always said G-Force therapy works good for me, but, you know, for Don, maybe it's Wally therapy.
Yeah, clearly, he can't go away again because you guys are on a winning streak. Jack, you went out surfing today. Tell me about that. I'm a Florida kid. We got no waves. I know some people do it, but I love the water. I love the ocean. Standing up on a board is something I never really got to experience like you California kids. What does it do for you? A lot of our listeners are in the middle of the country. There's no ocean, but tell me about your experience. I know a lot of people consider it very soulful, very relaxing. You know, you're what I would call you, you know, a middle-aged guy. It's not a kid's thing. Everybody does it. Tell me about your surfing experience.
Well, first off, I'm 48, so unless I'm going to live to be 96, I'm older than middle-aged, Joe.
Older than that? Why not? Why can't Beckman go to 110? Come on now.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. For the last 2 years, surfing was kind of therapy because there were no real good days at the racetrack. And I'm not saying that to complain. I love interacting with the fans, and they make a crappy outing on the racetrack palatable. But again, we come to do our job to win. And when you leave there with less than the trophy, it's disappointing. When you get beat first round or don't qualify, it's devastating. So surfing was kind of my outlet for that. And I was very conscious today thinking about, now this is interesting. I just had what would be considered the perfect day drag racing. Sometimes it's just nice getting 85 feet away from Earth. You know what I mean? And you kind of leave everybody and all the issues on shore there. And I always liked that aspect of surfing. And it's pretty darn good exercise, too.
Well, that is awesome. Jack, congratulations on this tremendous win. It was a lot of fun watching it all go down. The four wide is chaotic. but in a good, positive way. And at the end, standing on stage with you guys, the winners, as you hold up your Wallys and take it all in is really a special thing. I had a great time. I had fun watching you. I know you're doing it for a great cause as well. That's a trifecta of goodness. So thanks for coming on WFO Radio. And I'm glad we got you in. I was already planning on having you next week, but we got you in on this week's Winners Edition. I appreciate it.
Hey, I got to go last this time, and that wasn't bad. Guys, remember, every run I make, I'm taking those Infinite Hero coins with me down the track. Last year, we raised 70 grand in coins for the injured veterans, and I want to beat that this year. So come see me or go on InfiniteHero.org. I'll get you a Nitro coin. It's a wonderful way to do some great things for some awesome people and have a cool souvenir to boot. Joe, thanks again, man. I hope we do this again soon.
I have a feeling it will be sooner than you think. Jack, thank you very much. Congratulations.
Bye.
Fast Jack Beckman with us here on WFO Radio, and I can imagine him, he's like in his wetsuit, right, sitting in there doing that interview, which is kind of cool. Great success on the East Coast, and then going out having a good time on the West Coast. We still got more to come. We're going to go back to Z-Max Dragway, go to the Winner's Circle with Andrew Hines and Yanni Lindberg and Mia Tedesco and David Rampe, and we're going to hear from Brian Loans and myself working on a little race debrief as we go back. But when we come back next, we're going to hear from Carly Joe Ellingson. It's a winner's edition, right? Carly Joe was the winner. She won the Search for a Champion contest, 50K. You can go to the hashtag Team Champion to see all about it. I think it's unreal. It's shocking, actually. I almost can't conceive it. It's unconceivable. So, or is it inconceivable? The bottom line is, it's very, very out of control. Bottom line is, it's awesome. Carly Joe Ellingson, team champion, winner. You're going to hear from her on WFO Radio Winners Edition when we come back. Now, remember, if you're a first-time listener, if you are listening on iHeartRadio, the Race Day Nation channel, which is a great way to listen, and I know we've got listeners coming in from there who maybe clicked on this show for the very first time, and you're listening, and you're like, wow, hey, he's talking to me, right? Yes, very specifically, I'm talking to you. If you're listening on iHeartRadio, whatever you're doing, listening on your app, listening at your house, listening in your car, listening through an app on some brand new car, we are very specifically talking to you, courting you to subscribe to the show and listen every week. We have two shows here, NHRA Nitro, where you hear this, NHRA Winners and Interviews. We bring you behind the scenes of the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil Drag Racing Series in a way that I don't think others do. And the ones that we do it in our own unique way. I don't want to take credit away from anybody else who's doing a great show. There's other great shows, but this is the way we do ours. And we try really hard to include and make everybody feel part of this community, so to speak. And one of the things we do each year is support a team champion contestant in the Champion Spark Plugs Always a Champion contest. And now 3 years it has happened, and all 3 years the person that we have supported has gone to the final round, and 2 out of the 3 years they've won it. That's just shocking. It's just a shocking number. I'm shocked by it. Hopefully you will subscribe to the show, listen every week, follow on social media, and enjoy. That's what we want. We want you to enjoy. Now, also, we do the show, and we do have some advertisers that we would love for you to check them out. And they do all kinds of different stuff that we've talked about throughout the show, whether it be the Spiegel & Utrera General Counsel Club or Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Depends on what you're looking for. The folks at ZMAX, who a lot of our listeners got their tickets through the website. But Marvin Rodak, he can help you every day with coffee and hot sauce, and barbecue spice rub. And if you open a browser and go to rodakscoffeeandgrills.com or go right to the front page of wforadio.com, you will see the banner ad for rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. And it's very cool because I just got a reload from Marvin, and there is a new coffee for the drag racing fans. Yes, there is WFO Radio, which is the WFO Radio show specific blend, which I very much love and enjoy. And then there is Bang the Blower. Heard him say it on the broadcast. Bang the Blower. A very drag racing term, which is great. But now there is Reaction Time, number 4. And I started my day with Reaction Time, and it was absolutely awesome. Pick up the phone and give Marvin a call. He's been doing it since 1976, and they're even going to do a segment about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com on the Cooking Channel coming up on Memorial Day weekend. We will let you know all about it. 817-924-6821. That is the phone number, and he loves when you call him. 817-924-6821. Get your coffee, start a conversation about racing with Marvin Rodak. They've got four hot sauces. They've got a bunch of different spice rubs. And, of course, the coffees. And depending on the holiday that's coming up, I know Easter is coming up. We haven't really worked with Marvin on a Easter-specific holiday pack. Maybe we'll have to do that. But if you call Marvin and say, hey, I want the Easter holiday pack, I'm sure they'll put something together for you. 817-924-6821 or go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. And here are some important things to know. Over 40 single original coffees. They've got all the exotics like the Jamaican and the Puerto Rica, the Kona coffees from Hawaii, the Sumatra Kopi Luwak. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lot coffees from farms that produce less than 10 sacks a year. So if you're a coffee file, if you're one of these really hardcore people, you can actually call Marvin and say, hey, Marvin, I heard WFO Radio. I'm a WFO Radio listener, and this is where I live. I want to try something new and fresh, like expand my horizons. He can do that for you. He can give you suggestions. Well, this is cool, or I got some of this stuff in. It's a great experience. It's not just coffee from a bag that you get because you have to get it because it's the morning. It turns the whole process into something fun and exciting, something new. And I got to tell you, I greatly appreciate Marvin's support of our show. Because of people like Marvin, we can do the show. If you enjoyed the show and you love hearing these drivers, they're on the beach, they're surfing, they're doing stuff, and they're calling WFO Radio. The stuff that, obviously the people who have partnered with us on the program, give them a shot, give them a call. Marvin has been doing it since 1976, and there is no more exciting moment than when you come around the corner and you see the front of your house, that little box waiting in front of you, and you know that it's Rodax Coffee in that box. 817-924-6821, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. We'll be back with Carly Jo Allingson, the team champion winner. I can't believe it. She'll be back after this, and then we'll go back to Z-Max right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing, show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Fast Jack Beckman. Jack, welcome back to WFO Radio.
God, do I love talking to you, Joe.
It's synonymous with victory, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, three times this year. And like we were just chatting, I love coming on your show because it gives me an opportunity to kind of step away from the race car for a little bit, talk a little less formally, and maybe bond a little bit more with some of the fans on a personal level where they can feel a little bit more attached to our team and to our sport in general.
The reason that we started the show, because drag racers need that opportunity. NASCAR guys have it everywhere, and that's why they've been able to grow, is because the fans feel so connected, because they get more than a two-minute soundbite. And to hear you say that makes me feel great about just the whole process we've been through the past 3 years.
Mission accomplished, and don't ever stop, Joe. Thanks again, buddy.
The stars of drag racing, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Moving along here on WFO Radio, and of course we've got our Z-Max Dragway 4-Wide winner views going on. This is a winner's edition. Whole lot of winning going on here on WFO Radio. And as I was perusing my Twitter feed, I happened to take notice of something that was like a little surprising, but not really, but I was enthusiastic about it, and the WFO Radio audience was involved and in on it. The Always a Champion contest has concluded, and from what I understand, we have got another winner to interview, just not on the track. Joining us now, it is Carly Jo Ellingson, who has been on the show a lot lately, with some news. Carly Jo, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Get us up to speed on where we are at with the Search for a Champion contest.
All right. Well, this morning at 9 o'clock, the champion site was updated, and they announced that I was the grand prize winner of their Search for a Champion contest.
Carly Jo Ellingson, drag racer, was the winner of the Search for a Champion contest in 2015. Does that mean that you have got the $50,000 sponsorship for you and your team and your family?
Yes, that is exactly what that means.
Wow, that is absolutely outstanding. You are victorious.
Yes.
You belong on the winner's
yeah.
show.
Well, thanks for having me back. I am just so ecstatic, and I am still in shock, really. I can't really believe that they chose me. I'm so glad that they did, and I feel so lucky to have Champion Spark Plugs and Federal Mogul Motor Parts behind me, and I'm really, really hoping to represent them well throughout the 2015 race season.
Wow, this is such a big deal. It is huge. And to me,
for
the audience to understand, we just got back from Z-Max Dragway, where the Mihalik brothers were there making their season debut. They won the race last year, and they were the inaugural winner. So I got to see Corey and Kyle and talk to them and see them decked out in their Champion Spark Plugs gear and think and see how it has changed their lives, how it has advanced them forward, that injection of capital and sponsorship has really helped them. The race weekend didn't go exactly as they had planned, but they qualified very well and represented themselves very well. And to think now that you have won it also is just unreal. It's tremendous. What are you thinking right now, Carly Jo? What did your family think? What was their response?
Well, they all I don't know. It was a good thing that it wasn't announced on April Fool's Day, because I don't think anybody would believe this. It's just so surreal. We're all still shocked, kind of. We were smiling through the tears, really. It was just so amazing. I feel so blessed to have them on board and to be among such talented racers like the rest of the champion team. All of the finalists were very deserving, I thought, and I feel so lucky to have been chosen. I really don't have any more words than that. I'm speechless.
Now, I know that the WFO radio audience was a part of a larger collection of people who were supporting you throughout the process. That having been said, I can't help but think that in each of the 3 years of this contest, the WFO radio person that the audience pushed, who came on our show, have all made the final round, and two out of three have won the deal. That's like,
yeah,
those are great numbers.
I completely agree. Thanks so much for helping me out. And all of the listeners, I can't thank you enough for going online and voting for me. I am so, so thankful. You guys are awesome.
It just doesn't compute for me, honestly. Like, I'd like to take a certain semblance of credit. We've got a crazy audience. Like, they're super diehard. They'll go every day. They'll vote every day. They'll set their phone to remind them to vote. It's really a passionate group that is growing all the time. And I know we've got people who support you that tuned in to the show for the first time to listen to you on the show, and then they stuck around to listen to the show. They're like, wow, I can listen to this. This is cool. And so it works.
Oh, yeah.
It works both ways. But the idea that you're going to be out there now as a champion spark plug racer, following your dreams, trying to become a champion. You won this contest. The Mihalik brothers won the contest. Tina Stull, who actually came on and did a couple of Twitter episodes with us, she made the final round. Like, this is just outrageous. I mean, we feel like winners, too. Is that cool? Can we share in this?
Oh, yeah, definitely, by all means. You guys had a huge part of it, and I'm very, very grateful for everything that you've done and for taking a chance on me, supporting me, and I just am so thankful. Thank you.
It's outrageous. No, I'm super stoked about it. All right, so what happens now? Like, what's next? Carly Jo Ellingson, it has been announced. She is the winner. You got the phone call. You won. You've done it. What now? Do you have a plan in place? I don't imagine that you would, because that would be taking something totally outrageous for granted that you were going to win.
Yeah.
So what happens now? What's your first step? What do you do? I know you're going to school. So how does this factor in the reality that you are the winner of the Search for a Champion contest?
Well, for right now, I'm just kind of waiting for my phone to settle down. It's just blowing up from social media and people calling me and texting me. But for the race season, my team and I are planning on traveling more. We're going to make it to some bigger races, which I'm really, really excited about. So we're going to be promoting the Champion brand to tons more people and getting their name out there and hopefully representing them really well. I am still going to be going to school, so it's going to be a full-time deal, but I am so excited. This is awesome. I feel like I'm living the dream.
You know, a lot of people out on the tour say exactly that, living the dream. I got to say, you know, there's a lot of programs and contests that come and go, but this one from the folks at Champion Spark Plugs, they really have done something that has staying power, if you understand. Obviously, you just won it, so you're thrilled. But
yeah.
I think about the Mihalik brothers. I think about Tina Stull,
exactly,
who went through the process. I think about all of our listeners who are into it. They want to support. They want to do it. Like, what a great idea to absolutely lock a large group of people into supporting this company. They are changing lives with this program.
I completely agree. And you're completely right about the lasting effect. I look up to the previous winners and the previous finalists, and it's absolutely an amazing way to market their brand and their product. So I applaud them for doing this contest. I think that they're brilliant for coming up with this idea and for sticking with it. Next year is going to be the fifth year that they'll do it, so I'm sure that it's just going to blow up. It's going to be awesome for them.
Wow. Yeah, this is just awesome. You know who it's awesome for? It's awesome for you because you know, your video was very nicely done and very grassroots, and you've got a great story and clearly what an example of what drag racing is and can be. Yeah, maybe you will someday become a Top Fuel Nitro champion, or maybe you will continue to work hard and do it when you can as you, you know, become an outstanding member of the community. And, you know, who knows? But you're you're getting the opportunity, which so few people get. It is just tremendous. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Carly Jo, I'm very excited and very happy that whatever way the WFO radio audience was able to contribute, we are happy and proud that we were part of it. It is just this is just great news. I can't say enough. I'm kind of blown away too.
Yeah, thank you for everything, and listeners, thank you so much as well.
Carly Jo, now listen, you gotta. The Mahalics, they're like wrapped into the fabric of WFO radio now. We saw Corey and Kyle out there at ZMAX. They were super cool. They actually came up to the tower to find me to get some WFO stickers for their race car and was it was really cool. Like, why are you guys up here? We're looking for you. You're looking for me? Why are you looking for me? It was really funny. But we want updates from you. This is not like, hey, you won, see you later, talk to you somewhere. We would love to be up on whatever you're doing as things progress in your life and your career. Please feel free to keep me in the loop because the audience wants to know, you know, where you're going to be and what you're going to do and all that kind of stuff. You cool with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Excellent. Excellent. And wow, the WFO radio winter views continue, not just on the track, but off the track. 2 out of 3 in the Always a Champion contest, the search for a champion. That is just shocking and improbable. And yet it happened, baby. Carly Jo, good luck. Thank you so much for sharing your victory with the WFO radio audience. And wow, what great news to find out about. I can't say enough about it. Good luck with it. Keep us in the loop. And thank you for coming on WFO radio to talk about it.
Thanks for having me again, Joe.
Thanks, Carly Jo. Carly Jo Ellingson, the team champion winner for 2015. I don't even know what to say. How great is that? That's just great news. It's just super positivity all around. I don't even know how to go in depth on it. Congratulations to Carly Jo, and as much as we helped her, she helped us, because I know we picked up some listeners that were friends of hers who knew about her and maybe raced at her home track, who heard her on the show, who said, wow, a show, cool. And that's something that, as much as we do this program every week, we got a lot of room to grow. For instance, when we come back, we're going to go back to ZMAX Dragway, and we're going to hear from Yanni Lindberg in the winner's circle right after the win. I posted a video the other day on our WFO Radio Facebook page. I put it only on the Facebook page because I want people to like and check out the Facebook page. I'm putting all kinds of cool photos and videos that will trump behind-the-scenes stuff. Not as good as my Meerkat experience, which I'll talk about on Ignition. I was meerkatting the whole weekend. Nobody knows what it is even, and I'm telling you, it was just greatness. It was pure greatness, the Meerkat stuff. People were listening or watching on Meerkat, both. We did a behind-the-scenes interview with Danny Pomponio. I'll talk about it on Ignition, our other great show, which hopefully you will check out. But the bottom line is this. The Lindberg brothers are doing something special in the world of the NHRA right now. It's awesome. It's exciting. When the top alcohol funny cars roll to the starting line, there are a whole host of reasons to get excited. Which, not that it wasn't that way, but during the era of Frank Manzo dominance, you kind of knew Frank Manzo was going to dominate. Now it's something new. Like, what's going on? These numbers, they're out of control, breaking records. New, fresh, young, exciting faces. And we caught up with them in the winner's circle. Yanni Lindberg, Mia Tedesco, whose dad Mike and Uncle Frank I ran into out in Gainesville, and I didn't get to talk with Mia. I got to speak with her at ZMAX. What an unbelievable professionalism to her demeanor. It's really impressive. You're going to hear Mia Tedesco coming up on the show just a few minutes from now. You're also going to hear Andrew Hines. Drew is going to start us off. He's a Pro Stock Motorcycle winner as we go back to the track. And then we'll finish it all off with Brian Lones and myself. David Rampey is in there. So you're going to hear audio. Just to set the scene, we're going to be back at ZMAX. I'll tell you all about it. But first, I want to tell you about the WFO Radio store. Listen, the black WFO Radio t-shirts, I'm starting to see them at the track. There's one place you can get them at the moment, and that's on WFOradio.com. If you're a big fan of the show, if you like the show, if you're a small, slight fan of the show, if you're brand new to the show, you might be saying to yourself, wow, this guy sounds all right, and the show, I heard him on the NHRA stream, and he does a show about racing. That's cool. Look, here's the deal. We're building this brand, WFO Radio. We do motorsports talk. We do a couple of shows a week. We got a longtime audience that's around the world. They're very super diehard. We've got these t-shirts. One would look good on you. Go to the WFO Radio store on WFO.com, WFOradio.com, and get one. Number one, it's a great way to rep the show. Two, it's a super cool t-shirt. That's just a fact. Everybody's saying it. And three, it helps support WFO Radio. So if you're a longtime listener and you don't have your black WFO Radio t-shirt just yet, get one. If you're a new WFO Radio listener and you're looking for a cool underground super diehard drag racing t-shirt or motorsports t-shirt to wear that looks awesome, check it out and you'll probably want one. Go to WFOradio.com. All our sponsors are there. Rodax Coffee and Spiegel and Utrera PA's General Council Club. You get free 30 days. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Redline Oil, who have supported us for a long, long time. But also our WFO Radio t-shirts and stickers and stuff. They're all up there in the store. Check it out. All right, when we come back, we're going to go back to ZMAX Dragway, the Bellagio of drag strips, take you back to the winner's circle. Andrew Hines, Mia Tedesco, Yanni Lindberg, and myself and Brian Loans, killing some time at the tail end. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, WFO Radio listeners, if you're in the northern part of the country, I know you're freezing right now. You know what would be great? A hot cup of Rodax coffee. Maybe a little hot sauce, a little spice rub for that food you're cooking in the oven. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They've got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom blends like Bang the Blower and WFO Radio. Their coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown throughout the world, and it's all roasted fresh per order. They've got limited edition, seasonal, and rare micro lots. They've got exotics. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or just pick up the phone. 817-924-6821. Keep your ear out for those WFO holiday packs. Depends on the holiday what the deal is, but Marvin is wheeling and he is dealing. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club
can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro on WFO Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Look, I know you listen to this show every week, and if you're a first-time listener, we're so happy to have you. Maybe you're one of the thousands of people that were out at ZMAX Dragway, hanging out watching Racing 4 Wide, watching on live TV. Maybe you found us for the very first time right now. Well, we love having you, and hopefully you will click subscribe on WFORadio.com and listen to every week, every show, all of it. Send your questions for Reinhardt, 954-889-6796. Just call, leave your name and your question. It works just like a voicemail anytime, day or night, or email them, joe@WFORadio.com. We want to hear from you. Okay, Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, Andrew Hines. Top Alcohol Funny Car winner, Yanni Lindberg. Top Alcohol Dragster winner, Mia Tedesco. Superstock winner, David Rampe. And then my co-announcer from Bangshift.com, Brian Loans. All in the winner's circle at ZMAX Dragway, the Bellagio of drag strips. Let's go back now and check out the winner's circle, starting off with Andrew Hines. WFO Radio here with Pro Stock Motorcycle winner, Andrew Hines. Is Mark Oswald. He's a very happy man walking in the background. This whole post-race atmosphere, everybody's victorious. There goes Jimmy Brock, big thumbs up. These guys are all happy. You're happy. You got Wally. And you're going to Hawaii? Yep. Boy, that's a good place to be.
Absolutely. I'm going to on vacation with my wife, my two boys, and my other support system, which are my cousins from Las Vegas, John and Cindy. So going to go out there, have some fun. You know, this was planned well in advance, and luckily we got this four-wide race off with not too much of a hitch, a little bit of a rain delay there on Friday, but we made the most of it, took home a Wally and a runner-up.
How hard is it to do this, the four-wide thing? We saw it was pretty ugly for a couple of rounds, but you guys figured it out, and you and Eddie first and second. So clearly you guys have a good grasp of it, but it seems very difficult.
It is a little bit of a mental challenge. You kind of change your aspect of how everything happens on the starting line, and it's all about adaptation. You know, the racers that can adapt to looking at something different on the starting line, and then after the yellow splash, just focusing still on your own run. Doesn't matter what's happening in the three others, but there's definitely some different excitement going on. People trying to figure out who's winning what rounds and who's going fast and where the speed is, and you got to be concerned a little bit about two other guys, not just one guy. So it's you got four people racing against each other, and you got to be the first one in the finish line in that last quad.
I see something happen down there I want to ask you about. It's a little weird because we try to build these rivalries and all, and we kind of want you guys at each other's throats a little bit, but not really. Ultimately, it's all for entertainment. But when two riders win their quad, seems like it doesn't matter. You guys can see each other. You're out on the bike. You're not inside a car. You're not in a roll cage. You can see each other. It doesn't matter who they are. There's like a high five. Like, hey, we made it through. This is a weird camaraderie that happens, even among drivers that are not on the same team. What is that?
It's a strange deal. You know, we try to be happy for our competitors when things like that happen. It's different. You know, you do the gracious thing at a regular race. TY, go over, shake hands. You know, good race, blah, blah, blah. But here, it's weird with two people advancing. You know, you give them a fist bump or a slap on the back or something like that, and like, okay, let's move on to the next one. And if you advance with somebody out of your quad, which you do, you race them again. So I don't think I didn't race anybody three times today, which I guess technically could happen. But it's a different, unique, its own little thing. You know, we try to all be friends out here, yeah. When we put our shields down, sometimes your best friend can be your enemy.
And you guys finished 1 and 2. I know that's how you drew it up. Congratulations. The 200-mile-per-hour mark. I'm obsessed with it. I think it's great. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Someone's going to do it. I have no idea when it's going to happen. I hope it happens this year. Will it?
Obviously, Englishtown, if we have weather like we had last year, I went 199.23 there. We can push the envelope on that. I didn't think we were still at that point, but we were talking earlier, and it's all about Mother Nature. You know, we had the tailwind that rolled in today, which obviously pushed Junior to a little bit faster speed, and Harley's got a little bit more room to work on to try and get that top-end speed out of it. We were pretty quick at the end of last year, pretty fast, and we stumbled onto something today in that fourth session. I picked up a little more mile an hour than Junior did, closed the gap a little bit, and it's something that's on the horizon, so be ready for it.
I'm ready. And you're ready for Hawaii. Where are you going? Black sand? You going to be out there, like, chillaxing on the beach? Or are you going to be, like, drawing up parts on a notepad?
We are, well, yeah, I'll be thinking about that nonstop. But believe me, we got to find the performance to stay up front. But we're going to Aulani, you know, the Disney resort out on Oahu. So got the boys going with me, so they're going to have a good time. And my oldest son's first, both my sons' first time to Hawaii. Tanya and I made a little trip out there last year and turned it into an adult vacation with hiking and doing all the other stuff than laying on the beach. So this is going to be my 14-year-old is heavily involved or really likes history. So we're going to go check out Pearl Harbor and all those things.
Wow, that's so cool. First of all, a 14-year-old that likes history. That's kind of shocking, but good. And two, you're going to go see Pearl Harbor. Yeah. That is awesome. Will you take some like special pictures and post them?
Yeah, we'll be out there right over the Arizona. So we'll get some stuff out there, and you know, it'll be a fun family experience. You know, it's nice to go out with your family. We bust our butts so much trying to figure out what we need to do race after race. Luckily, we got we have 6 weekends off until Atlanta, so I can take a small vacation and still get five weeks worth of hard dedication into my Vance and Hines team and go out there and do it again in Atlanta.
Go enjoy it, Andrew. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Joe. Love it.
WFO Radio here with a top alcohol funny car winner, Yanni Lindberg. Yanni, record-breaking, record-setting, victorious performance. How incredible was this for you as a driver, you and your brother? You got your first win not long ago, now to do it this way.
Yeah, and this like means everything. Like, we've been aiming for 270 for a while and doing it here. I know it was able to do it here, you know, in these conditions. And it feels good, and even go at 36 is unbelievable, you know. But hard work pays off, I guess.
It clearly does, and you're holding on to that time slip. First time you went 270 and into 30s. Like, how long have you dreamed of this? And we think about the competition, but it's also a competition against yourself to put up a performance. You've done both. You were successful in both. But which means more if you had to separate the two?
You know, a win is also a win, you know. And you can go fast, but you know, taking a wall is something big, but of course, you know, taking the record is perfect. Like, I took the record back home in Europe. That made me want to come here and race with the best of the best. So taking a record here means a lot, you know, for me and my family and our crew, you know.
You and Steve Harker in the final round, you had this bet for $1 about who could be the first to break 270, and you were the one to do it. Or was it the first in the 30s? What was the bet?
No, it was 270, because I went 268.8 back home, and he went, you know, 267 in Reading last year. So, yeah, it was a fun deal we had, you know, and that makes me, you know, that triggers yourself, you know.
Now, what is it about? It has been since the U.S. Nationals last year that an American-born driver has won in top alcohol funny car. That is a long streak for you guys. Steve, born in Australia. You are Swedish. Ulf, out in Gainesville. What is it about the alcohol funny car formula that is so internationally popular? So much so, it seems as if, with the retirement of Frank Manzo, that the world community has a leg up on the United States community. Can you put that into words?
I don't really know. I think it's a coincidence. I really don't know. Like, I always loved alcohol funny cars. You know, it's a real car. It's a real man's car. It's hard to drive. It's, you know, it's short, and you really need to drive it. So, and I think a lot of guys like the cars. So, yeah, I really don't know. But it's really cool that, you know, me and Ulf is here, and Harker, and yeah, it feels amazing.
You referenced on the microphone this week, and I'm not trying to start something, but I would want to see it. Frank Manzo, like, wanting him to get a car, to feel challenged that, hey, we're here and we want to race against the best. And explain that. I know we would all love to see it. Who knows? Frank is retired. He's probably on a beach somewhere thinking, you know, with a drink with an umbrella in it. But how cool would that be to be able to create that with you guys running as well as you are, knowing what he has done? And what were your impressions of him as you were doing your thing in Sweden?
Yeah, you know, Frank has always been my, you know, that's a man, you know, Frank Mansell, the ace. So when I said of that, you know, me and Frank started being pretty good friends, and I would love him to come back in the class, you know, because I know he's missing his...
You would think, right? And now he's got to be, something's rumbling in his stomach. I know we're just talking here, but all the fans, like, such great interest in Alcohol Funny Car. That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the fans have been amazing. You know, on Facebook, all the feedback we get, and the audience here have been going crazy when we're on these numbers. And, yeah, it's really cool.
And so what's next for you in terms of the season? Obviously, two wins. You got a good start. You had told me on WFO Radio a couple of weeks ago after Pomona that you're still searching for sponsorship so you can do another race. Are you secure for the whole season, or what is your plan for the remainder of 2015? Are we going to see these numbers keep coming out of you?
I want to do more races, of course. And I'm going to, now, right now, I have sponsorship to do a couple more. But I need a bigger major sponsor for the whole season. So, but, you know, I'm working hard every day, you know, trying to find new partners and sponsors. And hopefully I can do the whole season, because we can't stop now. We're going pretty good.
Absolutely. Yanni, congratulations. Thank you for electrifying this D-Max Dragway audience. Getting to know you and your brother, you coming on the show a couple weeks ago, and then seeing this happen, it brings us all so much closer to it. You're doing great things for the sport of drag racing and for Alcohol Funny Car in particular, where so many guys and girls are out there, like, really working hard with a lot of passion. It's fun to watch you guys do it. Keep it up. Thank you for coming on WFO.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. See you later.
WFO Radio here with top alcohol dragster, first-time winner, Mia Tedesco. Congratulations. What a busy day for you, going so far in two classes, winning in top alcohol.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great day. I've been blessed to win in one car and semifinal in the other one. I mean, it couldn't have been a better day. My whole family's here supporting me. It just worked out. We didn't make good runs, but it just worked out that we won. And my uncle passed away a few weeks ago, so this one's for him.
I spoke with your father and your uncle in Gainesville, and I know that that was a big family trip for many, many years. And they really wanted it there, but it came here just a couple of weeks later. And your ascent in drag racing has been something that you can, it's tangible. You can see it. You're winning races. You won the five-day bracket race. I remember seeing that and watching your runs. And you have a real strong presence in the cockpit of one of these race cars. What are your goals as you keep clicking off class wins in different classes? Where do you want to be?
Bracket racing will always be something I love to do and will continue to do. Hopefully one day I'll be driving a top field dragster, but I'm really happy right now. I want to succeed in what I'm doing and continue doing what I'm doing. Maybe a few more years here, win a few more races, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Tell me about driving one of these cars, the acceleration, as our stock eliminator winner pulls around the corner. Little sound effects for the WFO radio audience, which we certainly like. Take me in the cockpit. You are a young driver, and the experience is relatively new. Are you still learning things every run down the racetrack, and what is it like?
It's gotten to the point where I can be more relaxed now. It's become more of a system, and it's consistency. I don't have to think as much, but, I mean, it's completely different than what I'm used to. I'm used to a trans brake and a throttle stop, and now it's a handbrake, clutch, leaving with my foot instead of my hand, but... Now it's become more fluid, and I don't have to think as much, but it pulls you from the second you hit the gas until you get through that finish line, and that's the best feeling ever.
And in the final round, you're 21,
yes,
and your opponent was 23, and that's just so cool. We talk about drag racing as a sport that has a rich history, but also sometimes people say, well, you know, a lot of older guys from the 60s like that. And you guys are proving that it is not necessarily the case. Yanni Lindberg, young. You, young. Alan, young. And what is it like to kind of to feel that the future of the sport is in a way going to be with you? Do you feel that? Do you sense that? Is that something that you have considered?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like tons of kids are coming up and racing dragsters and bracket racing and whatnot. I mean, I grew up with lots of kids that race junior dragsters, and they're all in bigger cars now and progressing. So I feel like the sport will keep progressing with the younger generation. But that was one of the things I noticed. I thought how awesome it is. I mean, I've raced lots of older men, and it's just awesome to race somebody more my age. I mean, it's a great, great thing. Like, all right, we're going to keep this going. So,
will the National Dragster headline be
Mamma Mia.
Well, hope so.
I'm sure you've never heard that one before.
Yeah, no. I hope it will be someday or sometime soon, so we'll see.
Well, I'm sure this is the first of many in multiple classes. And now that you're having such great success in the top dragster, in the top alcohol dragster, you want to continue pursuing super gas and other classes and bounce around? And if so, why? Just for the love, or is it a driver training tool?
I love super gas bracket racing. I plan to continue pursuing them and hopefully winning in those classes. I mean, it's just they're completely different, and completely different adrenaline rushes, but they still both are awesome competition that still get me. And yeah, I plan on continuing to pursue super gas. I hope to win a national event in super gas one day, and maybe top dragster along with alcohol dragster. But it's just it's good to keep getting seat time, and no matter what you're driving, and to keep your mind going, focus going, and just stay on that track. That's the most important thing. And I just love the competition in super gas as well. So yes, I plan to pursue it.
Mia, congratulations on your Z-Max Dragway 4-Wide Nationals win and top alcohol dragster. You earned it. Thank you for coming on WFO Radio.
Thank you so much.
WFO Radio here with Dave Rampe, one of the winningest sportsman drivers of all time. Last race was at the Gator Nationals. Last time I saw you down there on the victory parade of champions, and we were counting off the victories. That was what, 88?
87.
That was 87. That makes this 88. That makes it easy when they just come in bunches. What's going on? You are on fire right now.
Well, you know how it is. Racing's kind of weird. When the brakes go your way, I mean, they get on a roll and they just kind of fall. And then when they quit falling, then it's usually right the opposite. But it's just, things have just been falling our way, just getting all the brakes.
Talk about the final round, Clash of the Titans, obviously. That's one that I really think you could sell tickets for that race.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's always usually when me and Dan runs a real good race. And just unfortunate for him, I think the sun was kind of playing, you know, the sun was shining on this side of the tree, and Dan thought, well, you know, affects the react sometimes, you know, how you see the bub. And I think he thought he probably needed to make sure he hit it good, and it just turned out it was just barely red, you know. So it just makes it easy. I mean, you know, it's going to be a tough race, and then when that happens, it's like, well, it's kind of relief, you know.
Absolutely. Now, your phone is blowing up. We're here in the winner's circle about to get photos taken and everything. Mm-hmm. I know winning doesn't get old, but you've got a lot of experience at it.
Well, I mean, my big deal has always been, you know, I'm very blessed to be able to stay in this sport as long as I have, to win as much as I have. You know, the Lord has blessed me tremendously. But I think what keeps you going is you don't want to lose it more than the wins, you know. And that sounds weird, I know, but I've always said that. You know, you hate losing, and so the only way you don't lose is if you win. And that's kind of what I've always tried to do, you know, is just focus on that. And like I said, I hate losing.
Well, you didn't lose today or last time out, at least in Gainesville, right, on the national event side of things. David, thank you for coming on WFO Radio, sharing the victory. Our listeners have been responding. They like hearing from you. They like hearing about the Lucas Oil Series stuff because it's so grassroots, and they definitely relate to what you guys are doing. So thanks for sharing.
Good deal. No problem. Thank you.
WFO Radio here with my co-announcer, Brian Loans, here at the track. Yeah, it just dropped it on him that he's going to help me kill at least 5 minutes for the show.
Yes.
Because who knows what I'm going to get. So right. I got you. You were here.
I was here.
This was an epic race.
It was an epic race, and it was an epic race for different reasons. I mean, we had the epic performance. Obviously, Yanni Lindberg is a big part of the program. But it was an epic race, in my view, more for the complete and utter unpredictability of the entire thing.
Chaos.
You and I do this a fair amount together. We see a lot of these racers on a week-to-week basis, and we see them perform in largely the same ways. There was a 0% chance that anybody could have come away or won.
Was that moist?
That was very moist. I was just given a wet willy by division director Rich Schaefer. But no, the reality is you couldn't have guessed this from the start. Larry Morgan, come on. We all wanted him to win, but you can't will a guy to the winner's circle. He obviously did it this weekend.
Yeah, clearly. And the 4-wide, now we're several years into it. This was a little bit sloppy, though, let's be honest, because we lost Friday. Friday's usually the day where everybody kind of gets up to speed. Oh, yeah, that's what we do. Oh, I don't want to do that again. We lost that, and everybody was behind all weekend long. But come semifinals, it seemed like the cream were rising to the top. We had some wild, wicked explosions, Dave Connolly's thing. That you were on the starting line for that. What I felt it on the top end of the racetrack. Like, I really felt the concussion, a shockwave come by. What was it like being on the starting line for Connolly's explosion?
For me, it was a shocking moment, not for the fact that it was, like, shocking, oh, someone got hurt. No one got hurt, thank God. But it was shocking because I had never been around one of those cars when it literally exploded maybe 100 feet into the run. So for that, you know, we see the violence down the track. We see the big pillars of fire come out of the back of them. But to have one when the thing was really barely moving because it had spun the tires off the hit, he went to pedal it, and it ignited every ounce of fuel that was inside the engine at the same time. So giant fireball. Everyone did the ooh-ah thing in the grandstands, and we all kind of looked at each other. And it was just one of those things. It was like, that was going to happen to somebody this weekend. It was coming. Not that anybody was, like, in the mood to blow up, but just the way everything had gone. You know, my brother-in-law is a Marine lieutenant, and he has used the phrase about a live fire exercise before. Losing Friday turned this event into a live fire exercise in conditions that no one had really raced in before.
Larry Morgan winning Pro Stock. It's going to be tough to pick, like, the heartfelt win of all that. Obviously, Jack Beckman, it had been a long time. And Yanni Lindberg, those guys are cool. Mia Tedesco, who is over our shoulder receiving her Wally. But I think we're all looking around thinking, Larry Morgan, that guy has been banging the drum for so long, makes a big switch, takes a big risk, gets the job done. Would he win? We thought it would happen, but it happened. He did it. I think that's the emotional win. Would you agree?
I would. And you're a sports radio guy. You kind of get this mentality. Oftentimes in sports, whether it's racing or whether it's a stick and ball sports, we see these guys who have had incredible careers, and we always have to talk about that incredibility and that those successes in the past tense, right? We have to talk about how great Larry Morgan was and how much of an incredible sportsman racer he was. He, us, everybody benefits from the fact we can go how great Larry Morgan is, how he was able to win this wild race here this weekend, and did it not by any fluke or mistake. 006 reaction time on the final, goes 646 in the final round. I mean, sledgehammer of a car. His pairing up with Gray Motorsports this year to use their power, his tuning ability, and you know, fire rate and everybody else. Come on, that's where it's at.
On the mic, we talked at the beginning of the weekend the potential for seeing big things happen. Turns out we saw a lot of them. In Alcohol Funny Car, we pretty much erased the board. Those are all gone now, all new numbers. In Pro Stock Motorcycle, we saw a new mile per hour record. Hector Jr. just kind of knocking at the door of 200, getting really, really close. Pro Stock, pretty much the ET record, been reset. So did you get what you thought you were going to get?
The only thing I did not get was a 360 run in Top Fuel, which is, as you have, I informed you and Alan was gloating about, it means I have to buy Alan dinner tonight, which...
Where are we going?
You've seen the man. Is there a mouse in your pocket?
Well, I mean, I'll go...
There will be two checks, mine and Alan's and yours. I'll be honest with you.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Now, the three of us need to get out and eat and decompress a little bit over this one tonight, because it was incredible. The added element of the live television, I was getting texts left, right, and center from people at home that were watching. Great to see the fan reaction. We said, hey, you're live, and we were showing the broadcast on the board. The place goes nuts. I mean, this, as much as Larry Morgan's recent efforts have been validated, I think this racetrack was validated in many ways this weekend by the turnout, the performance, the effort that they put in the offseason. Nobody has anything ever bad to say about Z-Max, nor should they, because the place is nearly unparalleled in the world. But at the same time, this was a race that needed to have some big numbers, needed to have some big performances, and look what we got.
Any final thoughts, final notes as we sign off?
I wish Houston was started tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't that true? Oh, you're going to be in Houston?
I am. I am skipping the Vegas situation due to some legal issues I have in Las Vegas. I'm not allowed to enter the state of Nevada.
Clark County.
Yes, Clark County specifically. No, I'm the West Coast guys handling that, and then you and me are going to link back up again in Houston and bring the heat like we always do.
Hanging in Kima. You ever been down there?
You better believe it, man. I was there last year.
You're going to ride the roller coaster, baby.
I'm not riding the... I'll watch you with glee.
You won't ride the roller coaster? Come on, man. It's not that big a deal. All right, Brian Lones, great job. Thanks for coming on WFO Radio and killing, 6 minutes. That's great. The audience loved it.
Boom goes the dynamite.
We'll start a Meerkat stream right now.
And there you have it. Z-Max Dragway Winner's Circle. From the staging lanes at the Bellagio of drag strips, Z-Max Dragway. Brian Lones and myself. The joke about Meerkat was going on all weekend long because I was experimenting with Meerkat. Do you know what Meerkat is? Have you heard of Meerkat? I know on WFO we're trying to get everybody caught up on Twitter. Well, Meerkat is this new thing, and it really is exploding now. I like to think we're a little bit ahead of the curve. There's another thing called Periscope, which
A lot of people jumped on this week. I'd like to think we were one of the first with that as well. Here's the deal. Both of them, Meerkat and Periscope, are live streaming applications. Meaning, if I am on Meerkat and I start streaming, whatever my camera sees, anyone that follows me on Twitter, at WFO Joe, can suddenly see a live stream of what I'm seeing. And so this past week, while at the track, very underground, very just for my friends, just for fun, for myself, I streamed a lot of stuff from the pits, and it was great. It was a very cool experience. Now, it was definitely not for commercial purposes or anything. I tried Periscope, and here's what everybody said, that the video on Periscope, even though they are owned by Twitter, and it's probably has better reach and maybe more shareability and notoriety, the video quality was grainy, and you really couldn't see too well what was going on. Meerkat, M-E-E-R-C-A-T, Meerkat, was super clear. I streamed live the Pennzoil Don Schumacher Racing announcement. Live stream. Like, you were there while I was there from my phone. I was streaming the announcement while other people were recording the announcement and taking the announcement and posting the announcement, and people found out hours later or however long it took to do that process, which is what we do here on WFO Radio because time is not a factor. But when something is happening now and it's important to hear about it now, when it happens live, I had it. And the people that were with me in my pocket, in my phone, watching on Meerkat, knew before all of everybody else, except for the people in the room. It was outrageous. I was walking in the pits. I turned around the corner. There's Danny Pomponio. Hey, Dan, hey, want to talk to these people on Meerkat? Yeah. Hey, guys, waving into the camera. And everybody that's on there is seeing it as it happens. Cutting-edge stuff. Going to change the game, in my opinion. Going to really change a lot of stuff. Like our show, which is time-shifted media, not designed to be live. Designed for you to listen whenever you want, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 5 a.m., whenever. It's not designed to be live. Doesn't need to be. That's one thing. But this Meerkat, let me tell you, I hope I go down in drag racing lore as the first person to Meerkat anything from anywhere, because it's going to be huge. I was talking to a lot of the PR reps, talking to people at NHRA, telling everybody, listen, you should be doing this, and hopefully they will. And in the future, when everybody is Meerkatting or Periscoping, I'm taking credit as the first ever. Now, is that true? I don't know. Am I taking credit and saying it's true? Yes, that is the rumor I just started. Did I just tell you I'm making something up pretty much? Yes, I am. Why not? Exactly. I want to say thanks to Andrew Hines for coming on the show, Winner Circle. He was super stoked. I want to say thanks to Yanni Lindberg and the Lindberg brothers for just putting on that awesome celebration that I was able to capture and upload the video to our Facebook page. Just tremendous. Outstanding. Thanks to David Rampe for coming on. Mia Tedesco and Dad Mike and Uncle Frank, what nice people. That's the thing, is that every race I go to, I meet some new people. It's really hard. It's hard work. Getting out there and meeting the people. And I got to meet them in Gainesville. I got to watch them win in Charlotte. It was awesome. And I know it's not going to be the last time. And of course, thanks to Antron and Jack Beckman, who's out there surfing, and Alan Reinhardt and Carly Joe Ellingson. Carly Joe, we put her over the top. We were part of it. She worked her tail off herself. We were just a part of the calculation. But I'm proud of that. And I'm proud of all you folks for voting. Hey, remember the Ignition Show? Check it out. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to stream part of the Ignition Show on Meerkat. So you have to follow me on Twitter, WFO Joe, if you want to see it. And I guess, we're still all experimental. It sends you a push notification. It lets you know. And then you can sign on and see what's going on. It will be your first looks into the WFO studio, the newly two-thirds finished WFO Radio Studio. That's going to do it, folks. Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone who hosted us out at ZMAX, Christian Bird, and Marcus Smith, and everybody, all the fans. You guys were great. It was super cool interacting with you, and everyone shouting WFO at me. That was awesome. you're out there, you don't have your own WFO Radio t-shirt yet, black or white, get it. It's available in the WFO store right now. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Patrick the Webmaster, Giovanni in Miami, everybody who helps out with this show. Alan Reinhardt, of course, who starts us off. Just great times ahead. Greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
It's brutal out there in Top Fuel. It's crazy out there.